Radio FUBAR. Radio F***ed up beyond all recognition. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the new greatest thing on the internet, Studio FUBAR.
Does internet porn know you're cheating on it?
With your hosts, the loud one, Matt Reaver.
His mind brain is permanently rejecting his real identity!
Peter Johnson.
I love that I have an erection that didn't involve homeless people.
But for obvious reasons, we call him Pete. Mr. Producer.
I'm spooning a Barrett 50 cal. I could kill a building.
And the only person who can put up with all of this, Mr. Producer's wife, Tink.
Oh, it's like my heart's being gripped by the icy fingers of some terrifying ghost of honeymoon future.
The magic carpet would have crashed not at 45 degrees, but like 7.
We join this discussion currently in progress.
That is the best part. That is the best part about that. As the music cut out, I heard Pete in my headset. I was like, he's
We started the show about a half hour before before you guys joined us.
Yeah.
So welcome back. It's Saturday, the 11th of November.
What? No, I'm not 29 yet.
The 7th of November.
There we go.
You look at the wrong damn date on the thing. Yep. It's the 7th of November. Oh, yeah. You're a Veterans Day baby.
Yeah, I was born on the 10th. Yep.
Oh, no, you're a Marine Corps birthday.
Yeah, we always have this conversation.
Yeah.
My cousin who was in the Marines tells me that every year when he finds out, when he remembers my birthday.
I barely remember my birthday, let alone anybody else's.
You sure as fuck remember the Marine Corps' birthday.
Of course. I remember my wife's birthday.
That was day one of boot.
Right. Which is somewhere between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
December 29th. Yep. Mm-hmm. I have to think because my daughter's is December 28th. So
nice.
I'll tend to
flip
them around.
You know? Correct answer is just wait till the 30th, give them both a present. Call
today. No, actually, the correct answer is, you know what? Fuck it. It's close enough to Christmas. Here, you get a twofer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's what my wallet says anyway.
Or my niece that was born on December 26th.
Yeah, ooh. So they're always getting fucked on presents.
Ooh. Ooh.
I don't know. She's spoiled.
Well, wait. Did it matter? Did the Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever celebrate Christmas?
No, but they weren't. Family's complicated.
I'm guessing they didn't celebrate birthdays then either.
No, not us.
Yeah.
But the household she was born into as my niece did.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, it's complicated structure of belief there.
No Christmas.
Hey, whatever.
Imagine, did they celebrate
we
any
holidays? We technically did.
I mean, even if it's not like we celebrate, I mean, it wasn't a day like to just get together and have dinner with family.
That's exactly what it was.
That's exactly. We had what we called tradition. And on December 23rd or 24th, our family in particular and other people in our congregation started to come along, would go to a hotel that had a giant pool. Like the holodromes and everything, holodomes and the Best Western in Muscatine, I think, that had a big open area. The kids could run around, be in the pool all night. The grown-ups could play cards and drink, and we'd set up a potluck for 2 days straight. You're like, how do you do a potluck for 2 days? It was a buffet. Like, we'd bring tons of food, tons of crock pots and everything, and we'd live out of the hotel room for 2 or 3. What that allowed us...
It's hard to
this
be
reminds
a
me exactly.
My friends won't let me join in any games.
This is kind of the feeling that I got when as soon as he said he didn't celebrate Christmas, I started thinking of this.
Water out for Rudolph, because there's something wrong with me. My people don't believe.
Anyway, sorry.
No, but basically, we spent 2 or 3 days away from Christmas culture, but we did it every year. It was family and friends getting together to have a good time. There was lots of food. The kids would play. Oh, minus the presents. It's fucking Christmas. Oh, and the holodromes were decorated with Christmas crap.
Okay, well, here's the question, though. I mean, Jehovah's Witness, right?
Yeah.
Is that one of those segregationist type things? Like, you went to public school and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
You didn't? Okay. So it's not one of those, like, you can't be friends with that guy because he doesn't believe like we do.
They discourage you from having extremely close worldly friends. But of course, you're supposed to play with the other kids at public school. You're supposed to participate. You're not supposed to be an a-hole.
It wasn't forbidden is what I meant.
No.
It was.
It wasn't.
We didn't.
They would have the conversation. They would be like, eh, we don't.
It was an enclosed society, yeah, but it was.
It wasn't like LDS. What do you call it? Not.
Oh, here we go.
It was Alabama in the 80s. We could talk to the dark folks. We just couldn't be best friends with them.
You couldn't sleep with them.
Yeah.
No, not LDS like today. I mean, LDS like 100 years ago.
Got kicked down into the fucking.
Exactly. You know, when they were having 14 wives.
Dude, Moline Holiday Inn is broken. That thing is broke. It's got like three pools.
Oh,
it's
yeah!
got two banquet centers.
No, that thing is fucking
and then
sweet.
The inside of the holodrome, we would play football in that thing.
Yeah.
On like basically Christmas Day. Again, Christmas, but not Christmas. But that was kind of the only, well, I guess Thanksgiving, in order to get away from all the Thanksgiving festivities, we would gather and have a family dinner.
And that's the strange thing. And that's the strange thing is Thanksgiving inherently is not a religious holiday. It's just a day of thanks.
Yeah. Well, that's basically why they don't celebrate it is because Jesus didn't say to. He said to celebrate the memorial of his death.
So they do sacrifice. Easter, basically.
No.
Easter and Good Friday.
That's a celebration of his resurrection.
Okay.
It's basically not a holiday. We go to church. We have a special ceremony. And nothing like weird, like sacrificing goats. It's literally just a special sermon, special ceremony, and then nothing. No dinner afterwards, nothing like that. We might go out to eat afterwards because it ends at like fucking 10 fucking 30. Because the sermon doesn't begin until sundown when Jesus Passover dinner began.
It took him a little while to die, you know. They figure if Jesus had to suffer for 14 hours on the cross, so do you.
Yeah. There's no gift exchange or anything, but that's really the only holiday they call a holiday. But they don't do anything holiday. They don't take off work. They don't do a special dinner or gifts. They call it a holiday. It's not a holiday, but we still celebrate holidays, but we don't actually say we're celebrating it.
That 14 hours of suffering, I actually learned the first time I made the mistake of going to Palm Sunday Mass.
Yeah, don't do that.
Holidays are...
You're Catholic, right? Yeah.
I went through that shit. I'm not official. Right. I'm not a Catholic anymore. But
you grew up. Okay.
Yeah.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Wednesday, I was one of those fuckheads with the goddamn cross on my forehead.
Palm Sunday Mass.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, God. It was horrible. Yeah. And I didn't realize it either. This was actually, I was out in Boston. And I was just bored. We had Sunday afternoon off, so I went out for a drive, and I'm like, oh, fuck it, there's a church, let's go ahead and swing in. You know, I like the pomp and circumstance, at least, of church. I like the music, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, okay, I'll swing into this one here. And now, the funniest thing about it was that the priest sounded exactly like Ted Kennedy. So if you can,
we have to respect the Lord.
Exactly.
We have to worship him every day in love and peace. Amen. Yeah. God bless.
And I'm sitting in the back just dying the whole time. He's, exactly what he did.
Go Sox.
We will not bend to the devil's intimidation. Get these sinners off this island.
And then they started the palms. Now, Pete, I don't know if you know how the Catholics do Palm Sunday. They do Palm Sunday before Ash Wednesday.
Yep. And then they grind the palms up after they burnt them, and then that's what the ashes that you use to get the cross on your fucking forehead.
But everybody gets the palm, Fran, you know. And it takes a long time.
It does.
It's basically communion on steroids. And then after they do the palms, then you got to get communion.
Yep.
So there's another 20 damn minutes. I think
Catholic Mass is one of the longest fucking things that you will ever go through.
Not
period.
If you have
wait,
the right
is it 2 or 3 hours?
It's like an hour.
Oh my!
They can knock
wussy.
It out. They can knock it out in an hour.
You wussy!
Because you got to remember, the priest wants to watch football too.
Yeah.
You press an hour. You press.
It's a long hour though.
Ours was. You have no, I don't want to hear any bitching because for us it was an hour on Tuesday, it was 2 hours on Thursday, and it was 3 hours on Sunday.
Yeah.
Every week.
We
had assemblies and conventions 4 times a year. The assemblies were 1 day, the conventions were 3 to 4, depending.
Yeah, I grew up Pentecostal.
Out of town.
I got picked up for church at 8:30 in the morning, and I got home about 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you had to go to Sunday school before you went to big mm-hmm. person's.
Yep.
That also doesn't count our ministry time, which is 2 days a week, usually for 3 hours.
No, luckily I was only a Sunday only. I was one of those.
You prissy Catholic. You need an hour every Sunday, and you got to go in. You got to say some of the bad stuff you did because some of that you hide.
I didn't fucking do any of that.
You know what's funny?
You got to eat a cracker, sip some fruit juice, and go home.
I was a really shitty Catholic.
Well, they
give you a snack.
No, here was the funny thing. You know, most people that grew up going to church and then they start to rebel against the church, you know, because their parents make them go to church and all that kind of stuff. Neither of my parents went to church.
Yeah.
They sent me to church. How I rebelled
because... They took
because,
you to church.
No, they literally sent me to church.
Yeah.
Somebody from the church drove a van around and picked up the kids.
This is sounding inappropriate.
It wasn't, but it was just, it was like a shuttle service that they had, you know, and it was the same guy every, you know, week. But anyway, they picked us up and took us to church because my parents didn't go. So that's how I rebelled against my parents is that I actually went to church.
Yeah.
My parents don't go to church, so this must be right, you know.
And then you realize, no.
Yeah, then I got, actually, it wasn't that I stopped going to church because of anything I particularly believed or not, is that I actually started marching drum corps in the summer times and I just didn't go to church then.
Yeah.
And then after 3 months of not going to church and then going to high school right after that, I'm like, fuck it. it wasn't like a inherent disregard for church teachings at the time. It was just, I'm too lazy.
That's where it started for me. And then I just kind of morphed into, as I started digging in, it was like, why do I even think about this?
Well, that's the problem, is that after I didn't go for about a year, I started to think about it. I'm like,
this makes no fucking sense
anymore. Wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, after they stopped pushing the shit in my head, I started thinking for myself.
I didn't really believe it all that much.
Me either. I was
a kid.
I was never like super devout or any of that bullshit.
It was more going to hang out with my friends that I had there at Sunday school.
My mom went and she drug us.
They were cool. They were cool stories. Yeah, you know, but even as a kid, I'm like, okay, he walked around the city for 7 days and then blew a horn and the walls fell down.
That sounds completely logical.
Yeah, I can see
that. No, you throw that right in a wastebasket.
Huh?
Doug Stanhope.
No.
You shouldn't even teach religion until you're 18.
Right. And then, of course, then, you know, as a kid, your immediate reaction is, wait a minute, how come they could do that shit 2,000 years ago when they were goat herders, but here we are today
with
television and computers and all this kind of stuff, and we can't do all that cool shit? Well, it's because Jesus
said that wouldn't happen anymore. Convenient.
How come they weren't branded as witches back then?
Anyone who's seen my works, this is the last time. Wait, what?
Why?
You don't need any more proof.
Until,
but what about 2,000 years from now?
But could you imagine if any one of the three of us went back 2,000 years with an iPhone?
Yeah.
Yeah. With an iPhone, a gun,
yep,
and a shot of penicillin because you got to cure leprosy.
I would be both the ruler of the world and branded as a heretic and a fucking witch. We might just be able to head this shit off right before it fucking started. Just think about that. You might actually be able to go there and be like, that's all bullshit. Why? Have him explain this. The phone. Yeah. This phone. Why does this work? That's got to be God. Nah, I'm pretty sure it's not God.
Actually, we don't even need the iPhone. You know what we need? Because the iPhone, what good would an iPhone do you 2,000 years ago? There's no service. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Now. You know. All we need.
Frank didn't see it.
No, I saw what you're doing. All we need. Yeah. All we need is this.
Yeah.
Fire. He made fire appear from his hand.
Yep. No, they had that. Well, they could make fire in Bronze Age technology.
Yeah, but not by just going
with a lighter. Yeah.
Like that.
They had flint and steel, but yeah. That's,
right, they had to work at it. They had to light something
we've been
on
over
fire.
This before. Just introduce to them the common toilet.
Yeah, he has brought this up.
You mean, how does the water, it seeks its own level.
Yeah, but you have
but
to.
But it does, yeah, it seeks its own level. Right, it's a physics
hold
thing.
On. I know.
Let me teach
on,
you about
hold
physics.
Hold on, no, that wouldn't work because you have to build infrastructure for a toilet to work.
No, you don't.
You have to make plumbing. You have to make some kind of hole for it.
You need a bucket with a long S-shaped pipe, and you got a fucking toilet.
Right. But guess what?
That can get dumped right into the
ditch.
The Jordan or any of that shit.
But now you actually have to think about it. Let's assume that, you know, time travel
The fucking
works.
Romans. The fucking
Hold
Romans.
On, no. You could show them Archimedes' screw. You could show them a pulley.
See, that's,
you
that's,
could show them.
See, but that's what I'm going to. Let's assume that time travel works like it does in a Terminator, where you can't take anything back with you.
Okay.
Okay.
You, personally, what could you go back there and make?
A toilet.
Could you personally build a toilet?
Yes.
Again,
that whole ceramic thing around it is just show.
Right.
You need a pipe with a bucket on top.
I think you got to go more simple than a toilet here. You know, something that you can actually make with
more
your hands.
More simple than a toilet.
Well, yeah.
Again, you need a fucking bowl with a pipe coming out of it like
that.
I don't
know if a toilet would thoroughly impress something, somebody.
These are people that would shit in buckets.
I know, but I don't think a toilet would be enough. Because I think they were smart enough back in the day. Had they seen a toilet and thought about it for a minute, they would go, oh.
That's the point.
You know.
You go, yeah, it's a very simple principle to demonstrate fluid dynamics, and then you can start showing them more advanced things because now you have people that are willing to build shit for you.
But what I mean is something
you
that
make
you,
this
something
piece, you make that piece.
That you can make with your hands or create or show them that they'll never be able to figure out and they'll just think you're a god.
Magnet. I could actually figure out how to make a an electromagnet.
How would you do?
They have Babylon batteries back then. It's actually possible.
They did. I don't think you get enough power out of those Babylon batteries to make a magnet.
I know enough of the modern technology when it comes to that. I could probably.
Speaking purely.
You'd have to actually.
Purely academically, all you need to do to make a magnet is take two ferrous pieces of metal and rub them together.
Right. Well, no, he said electromagnet.
That's.
The problem. Then you got to teach them how to make wire first. Which probably wouldn't be
that hard. It's not that
hard.
It's not that hard to forge the
copper.
Yeah. It's just a matter of, we're going to heat this copper up. We're going to stretch it into a nice, long, thin hair.
Yeah.
And we're going to connect it here. I'm going to take that iron-ish thing. I'm going to wrap this fucking wire really tight around it. Boom. It's a fucking magnet.
Yeah, it's an electromagnet, but what are you gonna do with that?
I'm gonna suck the rocks from over there to where I'm holding.
First thing I'm gonna do is eat a goddamn lobster and not have Jesus or God strike me dead. I am God. I eat lobster.
Bad thing about it is that I could probably build something like a grenade.
Yeah. Something simple. Yeah, you could probably they would have the proper elements to build.
You'd probably have to do it. Probably have to use a fuse instead of a.
But it's still.
You could just take a trip to friggin' Asia Town and grab some gunpowder.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Because you can get gunpowder 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine in their world, like three of us walking up with pineapples hanging all over
us. Oh, yeah.
Looking at an army of 500 people across the alley from us, and then the three
booga,
of us.
Booga, booga.
No, the three. Off. Yeah, yeah, fuck off. Boom, we start chucking these things at them. Come back an hour later into the city. Where'd those 500 people go?
They're dead.
All dead.
They're all dead. Oh, how did you do that? Well, it's actually this thing called gunpowder and science.
I'd make a crossbow. I'd really screw up history.
Introduce that way before it ever came into. Yeah, oh yeah.
I need a short bow.
Yeah, because they have
what, like
bows
2 feet?
At that
no,
point.
Way shorter. I need like a maybe 16 inches at the most.
Trebuchets.
No,
I could make
we'll
a trebuchet.
Start with a crossbow.
Could you imagine introducing a catapult that early? Just start.
Well, they had siege engines.
They did have siege weapons, but
they had battering rams at that point. They didn't have catapults. They weren't launching.
Are you talking
500
about
pound rocks?
The Jesus days?
Or yes.
Way before Jesus, the Roman,
the
man.
Roman.
They
yeah,
had
Roman.
Ballista and catapults and stuff. Not, they didn't have trebuchets in particular. Yeah. True, but they had siege weaponry before that.
Not enough to really do much. That was funny. They had the big battering rams. I love those.
Yeah.
Let's put 500 people.
The problem with the siege weaponry at the time is nobody had any walls to stop it, so they didn't bother building it, except for Babylon and a couple other cities.
Yeah, in Jesus' time, they didn't. They didn't need it.
Rome didn't actually have a wall around it. They didn't have Hadrian's. The siege weaponry was like, oh, if we need it, I guess we can build it.
Actually, you know what I'd like to go back in time and make and actually work? Archimedes' mirror.
Yeah! The fucking, actually prove him right where you light shit on fire.
Uh-huh. It can be done. You just have to make that shit.
They actually proved this on Mythbusters.
No, they proved it would smoke and burn a hole in a ship over
you don't
a
think
few
that
hours.
Would, yeah. But if you made that shit adjustable to where you could adjust the concaveness of the mirror, and then you could actually aim the thing. Because that was the problem they had with Mythbusters, is they had to have the boat in the exact focal point of the mirror in order to even get it to smoke.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like you said, it took...
Hours.
Well,
to do anything significant.
Right. I mean, it
started smoking after a few minutes, but
even then, that would impress the hell out of them. And then back in the day, too, those boats had all kinds of... gunpowder and that shit on there that Mythbusters didn't have on there. You get a little bit of smoke going on one of those boats back in the day. Wouldn't take too much to...
Yeah. Which, speaking of Mythbusters, they have officially said that they are done after this last season. No more Mythbusters.
Well, it's only been 15 years.
Yeah, the whole 15 years, and they still only have a combined 30 years of special effects experience. Anyway.
Shouldn't that have doubled?
Shut up. Okay.
Maybe that's why they're done. They're sick of us going, hey, you did that wrong.
That was the best part about Mythbusters.
When they did the fan responses.
Yeah.
They'd get annoyed with it, but they're like, okay, we'll try this again. And every once in a while, they got a different result. Well, like, oh.
Well, that's the bad thing, is that I'll watch that show, and I'm like, you're testing it wrong.
Which they welcome
the
that.
Yeah.
The only one I didn't like is the Katana episodes. Anything to do with the Katana. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I hate Katana fanboys. It's a good sword. Congratulations. It's a good sword. It is not the best sword.
It was a good sword for what it was designed to do.
Yeah. If you're a Katana fanboy or fangirl listening, it's a great sword, but there's a reason the samurai don't exist anymore.
Well, there's a reason why knights don't exist anymore either.
Exactly. You know?
But it's, you know, it's
there's
fun
countless battles where the Japanese invaded Korea or China and they were defeated by the Chinese Dao. The Katana didn't just automatically win battles.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way it worked.
Right. But it's like that with any sword, too.
Yeah.
See, you know, because the episodes where they're saying, well, which is the better sword, you know, a katana versus a...
Well, this one has longer reach. Who gives a shit?
A long sword, you know, you're basically talking a slicing weapon versus a stabbing and crushing weapon at that point. You
exactly,
know?
Exactly, yeah.
a katana, if you look at what a samurai would wear, they wore basically paper armor.
Yeah.
And that was actually a cool episode. Did you remember seeing it where they actually tested to see if paper armor would work? And it does.
It does, especially if you stack it up enough. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, a long sword stabbing against paper armor versus a katana trying to go through full plate.
Mm-hmm.
That long sword's going to win in the long run. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No,
Or even the laminated leather armor they had. That's 90% of what the samurai, it wasn't metal.
Right, but even then, I mean, a long sword will defeat that eventually. And the katana was designed to basically find the chink in the armor.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
to
a
be
precision
able,
weapon.
Right, to be able to get into the places where the armor could separate.
Yeah.
You know, the long sword was built to basically dent the fuck out of the armor and create your own opening. Same thing with the broadsword.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Scottish claymore was invented, was against the English knights, because they had to figure out how to open them cans.
And the fact
and
that
they needed that 20-pound claymore to...
And the fact that the fucking Scots were, like, just monsters. Like, we're just going to use the fact that we're bigger than them. We're going to get a really big fuck-off sword.
But I mean, like I said, the reason for the big fuck-off sword was to figure out how to get into that plate.
Yeah.
All right, so you're both... You know. You're not fanboys for the katana, but you are still... Both brainwashed.
Okay.
That the European swords were too dull or were smashing weapons. No. Because the out of an army of 1,000 English men, maybe 200 of them would be well-armored knights.
Right.
The rest would be wearing anything from padded armor, which is literally just cloth.
Oh, I know.
Just really thick cloth, or maybe chain mail, maybe some laminated thin metal. But again, you're talking at man at arms, not your average footman. Right.
I'm not saying
fucking razor sharp swords that were fucking sharp were made to kill the peasants.
Yes.
Well, that too. I'm not saying they weren't sharp. I'm not saying you couldn't stab with them, but they needed the heft and the weight
when it came to
also
the knights,
deal with.
They had footmen that had like bill hooks and things like that that were meant to grab the knight like by the neck, like the breastplate
and
neck, and drag
him
to the ground.
Right.
Then they just start pummeling him and stabbing him in the neck and shit. But they didn't actually try to brute force through armor ever, unless you had a mace. But again, situational. How many average footmen had a mace or a morning star?
The mace is a better weapon.
The technique for fighting knights was kill all the footmen around him, then put three against one. The dude's fucking going down.
Exactly.
Or kill his get him off his fucking horse.
Get him off the horse or
kill the horse. Yeah.
But you know, the European sharps were very very sharp.
I never said they weren't. You know.
Yeah, they were, and that's like in fucking Germany when they banned swords, so the Germans came up with the Messer, because it was a knife. It was a very, very, very big knife, but it was a knife. By definition of German law, it was a knife.
This is a knife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen those?
Yeah. See, I always liked...
That's a sword. No, it's a knife. Look, the tang goes through the handle. Shit.
I always liked the kind of weapons that the average everyday person would have, like the scythe or the scythe or however you want to pronounce it.
The scythe, yeah.
Yeah, because the scythe are the little friggin' mini Chinese tridents. Right.
But you know what I'm talking about? The
kendo
big wheat.
Big old fucking kendo sticks. Right. Those were the fucking farmers. Sticks that they would like beat the leather with and shit.
You're
like
talking
that.
The Kali sticks?
Yeah, Kali. That's what
I'm like,
talking
about. Kendo. Kendo's the
Kali,
bamboo.
Yeah, Kali sticks. Yeah, it's like the shit that they would beat the fuck. Like after they killed the cow and they had to hide up there, they'd beat it down with the fucking. Yeah.
But you know, those are the cool weapons. Because if you think about it, you know, that big.
Yeah.
3 foot blade on a 8 foot stick, you can do some damage with that.
Oh, yeah.
Until you break the stick, you know.
Yeah.
But, speaking of that, blew a tire on my truck this week.
Oh, that sucks.
Damn piece of metal was about 5 inches long that went through the tire. I think what it was, based on shape, is, you know, like on the back of farm tractors when they're aerating the soil, you know, they got those spikes that drag along. I think one of those flew off on the road somewhere.
Or something like that and flew off in the... I got you.
I had never seen anything that large in a tire before. It was, We've run over nails, bolts, you know, that kind of thing. I've never seen a 5-inch piece of metal in it.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll definitely do it.
Yeah. But, what else is going on? I'm sure your week was... Oh, I had the week from hell at work this week.
I got you.
Every trailer that I picked up this week, something was
fucked
broke.
Up.
Yeah.
Are you done with your trainee?
No, I got one more week.
Oh.
But, well, let's see. We had a trailer that none of the lights worked, and it was 2 in the morning, so...
How do you handle that?
I had to call the 24-hour service, and they had to come out and probably charge $500 to get the lights working on the trailer. Let's see. Then the next trailer had a blown-out wheel seal.
Oh, nice.
So it was throwing axle grease all over the place. Then the next one was the tire that got blown out. So...
Wow, there's a lot of shit going on with those trailers.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have those weeks. Yeah. Like the few weeks before that, pick up a trailer and go, pick up a trailer and go. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it just seemed like I just had a run of
trailers.
Bad luck with trailers, you know. And Matt's getting up and leaving the area. Oh, okay. So, I don't know.
Just a shit running luck, huh?
Yeah. I look at the way they fought war back in the Middle Ages and Dark Ages, and I'm like, that would suck. For everybody involved.
You know, reading some books on it, though, the movies always make it, of course, Hollywood, but mm-hmm. if your forces took 20% casualties, you probably surrendered at like 18.
Right.
You were probably waving the flag at 18, and then the fight died down. You took 20%. It wasn't an army of 10,000 clash with an army of 10,000, and one army just gets fucking annihilated, and the other one has like 6,000. They didn't fight like that because it was.
Yeah, they weren't stacked up.
There's
like
three of guys and us like that. Right. Like, we are out here defending this guy's land, but I still have a family at home. I don't want to die. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see your men getting demoralized.
Yeah. Johnny, what are you doing down here? Bill, fuck this, I'm out of here.
You know? Well, it wasn't even break and run. It was just like you start getting demoralized, you start mm-hmm. fighting more defensively, and you realize, wow, we're not going to actually win. We're just going to die. We're maybe just call it even.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, too, is, you know, those raised army type battles like that where it's, you know, go get all of the guys from all of my lands, and the oldest born has to show up, you know, those non-professional armies.
Yep.
That's really where the Romans had it right, is that their armies were professional armies.
They took volunteers and they trained them.
Right.
Yeah.
As a, you know, a lot of the battles were, all right, guys.
John, Steve, and Terry went and grabbed their sword off the wall, polished it up, and said, get in there.
Right.
Because their lord called
them. Well, that was actually the Romans' original thing. It was they had citizen soldiers, where it was guys that spent 8 months out of the year farming and 2 months in the military. And then after they lost to the Carthaginians a couple times, like, we need to change this formula. Yeah. We need guys really well-trained, really well-geared, taken care of, and they spend 2 or 3 years in campaign and then come home and get their land and everything.
Yep. But yeah. that's where they really, really revolutionized warfare, was the creation, basically, of the professional army.
Yeah.
You know.
The deadliest armies in history always had full-time soldiers in it. Mm-hmm. But, from the Spartans to the Macedonians, Romans, the Crusades, the British Army, French Knights. Yeah.
Yeah.
Permanent warriors win the wars.
Yeah, but, you know, the vast majority of the time, you'd see these two armies facing off in the middle of a field somewhere, and it was some duke going against some other duke.
Yep.
And it was, go get all the peasants, tell them we're going to go fight.
Yep. Your lord commands you.
Right.
You're on my land, you do what I say.
Yep. Right. What if I want to go fight your war? Well, then you don't have a
fucking We'll just kill you anyway.
Yeah, we'll just kill you right where you stand.
Or we'll take your land and shove you out of our
manor. Well, that doesn't sound very good, so I guess. I don't like either of those ideas.
But arrows.
Where the term coward comes from.
Imagine the first army that went up against archers.
Oh, yeah. That would be like fear. That would be
terror. I mean, the bow is a, you know, has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. But the first person that said, why don't we get a whole shit ton of archers? And instead of like picking off deer, we'll just get about 1,000 of them, put them in a line and just
shotgun blast them.
Could you imagine being on the receiving end of that?
What the fuck is... Whoa, God!
Especially if you weren't expecting it, because they put the archers in the rear.
What's Benny doing that bull hide? I'm stopping these fucking arrows. We'll call that a shield.
Right. And that's the best response to that. Is just like, oh God, they're coming again. Where'd you get that idea?
I don't know.
It just seemed like a good idea at the time.
Right. But they didn't.
I shot an arrow into a bull and it lived. So I figured if I had bull skin, right, I might live.
Right. But that's something you have to learn. You know, yeah. I mean, the first army that went up against a phalanx of arrows.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Didn't have that thought. They went, uh-oh.
What the fuck is that in the sky? You know, oh God.
Yeah, and then the next
they're bullshit. They all had bow and arrows.
They're not fighting where? They're not fighting. They're not fighting fair.
Jerks. That's not a chivalrous fight. I wasn't trying to fucking. No,
we're talking
fair
way
about
before the concept of chivalry. Now it was that somebody showed up to a bow fight with a spear.
Yeah,
you know. But that's how we end up with fucking Tomahawk cruise missiles today.
Yeah.
Because 2,000 years ago, somebody said, "Hey, why don't we shoot bows at them?" And then the other side said, "Hey, they're shooting bows at us. Let's make shields." And,
yeah.
You know, the arms race.
Said, "Oh, we have shields. Hey, let's make catapults. Oh, yeah, that'll take care of those shields. Hey,
make really big fucking walls.
What if we put a guy on a horse with a spear? He could just run towards the archers. He'd go under the arrows." Right. Brilliant.
2,000 years later, you're getting into World War I, and somebody says, "Hey, how about instead of having 1,000 people shooting one bullet, we have one guy shooting 1,000 bullets?"
Yeah. Then we can put 1,000 people with 1,000 bullets.
And there's one man in the back. How about if those bullets released gas?
Really?
Or polio.
But the machine gun, the good. Oh, wow. that's the reason why trench warfare was invented, was out of
necessity.
Oh, shit, they brought a machine. You guys are fighting bullshit.
Well, I mean, they had the Gatling gun before World War I.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
They had the Gatling gun was actually around for the Civil War.
Yeah.
But they only had like four of them.
Yeah.
And they were like artillery.
And they were notoriously unreliable. And, yeah, and it took a horse to drag these things around.
It was a fucking artillery piece.
Actually San Juan Hill where we realized, "Oh, those things are kind of handy."
Right.
We can just machine gun them down as they fucking
yeah. But then all of a sudden they took that 800-pound Gatling gun and did and turned it into something that you and I could carry.
Yeah.
God dang Swedish.
And thank you, Mr. Maxim. You know. but yeah, the machine guns of World War I were obnoxious. It took four people to man those things. The reason was because, well, one guy had to carry the water.
Yeah,
because you actually had to cool those things off with it. You had a tank.
Yeah, the fucking water. Barrel. They had the detachable barrel, right. Where they would just take it off and dunk and quench it. No.
The barrel was permanently attached. They had a water jacket around it, and then there was a pump.
Oh, so you got one guy just pumping fucking water into this thing.
Circulating water around the barrel. And then later they came up with the detachable barrel to take care of that situation.
Yeah,
you know. But we also slowed down the rate of fire, so we just didn't melt barrels as much anymore.
Yeah, because you don't need to throw. Because we realized that throwing 700 rounds instead of 1,000 rounds downfield was still good enough. We didn't need to fucking melt the barrel to do it. Right.
And then the first time they had the machine gun, they put one machine gun out there and just went, and everybody went, "Oh, shit." And then the next person said, "Hey, what if we take two machine guns, put one over here and one over there, and have them shoot at 45-degree angles to each other, and we make a wall of bullets?"
Yeah.
And then somebody in Germany said, "I want my machine gun to be able to cut down a tree."
Yeah.
Oh, you want the MG42
and the machine gun?
What the fuck is that? Yep.
And the combination of the machine gun and trench war and trenches necessitated
trenches.
No, well, as I said, the combination of machine gun or the machine guns necessitated trenches.
Yeah,
which necessitated chlorine.
Yep, got to get them the fuck out of there.
Well, the reason why chlorine works so well is that it's heavier than air. It would get into those trenches and just...
You got to get them out of the you got to get them out of the fucking trenches. Right. So we got to fling some shit.
Which necessitated the gas mask, which, you know...
Isn't human ingenuity fantastic?
Yeah. You always wonder... And I mean, and all of that happened within a few years.
Yeah.
You know?
War pushes us along in one of the most technological advances at any point in time.
Right. And then in World War II, not only did we take that machine gun, and we made it so one person could carry the damn thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also in World War I, we decided...
I mean, you still have machine guns.
We got these fucking planes we could put these machine guns on. That'd be fantastic. Right.
Well, no, they started that in World War
I. That's what I'm saying. In World War I, like, you know those things that were just invented like 5 years ago? Why don't we fucking put the machine gun on that thing?
That's not even how it started. This is funny. They had scout planes, right?
Yeah.
For the Germans and the French.
Mm-hmm.
And this all happened in like 2 months, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It real quick.
They used to fly by each other and wave.
Yep.
And like, hi, I'm a scout too. Yep. And then one day, and sides differ on who did it. One of the obnoxious, because they were flying at like 45 miles per hour. They were fucking slow as shit.
Yeah.
They had the first biplanes ever made.
Yeah.
One side decided to get cheeky and threw a rock and hit the other guy like in the neck.
Yep.
Like not kill them, didn't take the plane out or anything. It was like, that fucking dick.
Yep.
So now that guy brought a gun in his plane. The next time he saw that plane, he shot at the fucker.
Yeah. Just
The other guy brought a gun too.
Right.
And they started shooting at each other. Right. And one of the guys, somebody's like, you're shooting up there? You can do that? Like, yeah, you got one hand here and.
Yep. And then within about 2 months, they created what was called the propeller interrupter. So, because the problem with where they mounted the machine guns initially was that you would shoot it and then destroy your propeller and crash the plane.
Yeah.
So, they created it was actually just a simple little lever that...
Well, they had the tail gunner first.
Right. They had they created a cutoff on the machine gun that attached to the camshaft of the motor of the plane. So, and they had it synced up with the propeller. So you would shoot through the propeller, and then when the propeller blade was directly in front of the gun, it would trip that notch, so it would stop firing for that split second that the blade was in front.
Oh, nice.
And like you said, you know, they had the tail gunner, and then they created that all within...
Like a few months.
A few months.
So in like 6 months, you went from having scout planes wave at each other and smile to...
Even funner, the development of aerial bombing happened in World War II or World War I.
Nice.
As well. And it happened kind of the same way as what Pete was talking about there. Somebody decided they were flying a scout plane, and they're looking down and said, you know, I could hit them really easy from here.
Hey, you know those guys in trenches that aren't moving? What if we just dropped a bomb from up here?
Right.
Them?
No. They initially thought, let's drop a grenade. Well, you drop a grenade from 1,000 feet, it blows up in the middle of the air. Can't do that.
Yeah.
So then somebody said, okay, how about if we take your grenade and put it in a glass jar and pull the pin? So the grenade will fall down in the glass jar, break, the spoon will fly off, and then...
Yeah. <you know?
laughs> And then somebody said, well, why don't we just make a bomb that when it hits the ground, it blows up?
Yeah, and impact. And then impact fuses were created.
Yep. And then in World War II, somebody said, hey, how about if we take that bomb and blow it so it's 50 feet in the air? So proximity fuses were invented. Yeah. You know? So...
Because then we can scatter the fucking... We can have a fucking...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, it's a counterbalance. What it is, you know, one side says, let's do this. The other side says, we don't want you to do that anymore. We're going to make this.
Yeah.
You know, matter of fact, we're going to do that better and stop you from doing it, you know. So, now we have Tomahawk cruise missiles and atomic bombs.
And drones.
I hate drones.
Hey, we're getting to the fucking point now where we're close to like Terminator fucking combat drones, man. The DARPA's actually working on it, from what I've seen.
And that scares me as a military person.
Yeah.
I want war
to be fought by humans.
To have the human element, because it makes war that much more abhorrent, and it hopefully makes us not want to
do fucking it. Do it anymore. Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you on that. I as much as I,
the minute you start killing with machines, that I don't mind drones when they're used for recon.
Yeah,
I don't like putting weapons on them. I never have. I still don't.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
And that's from a military. I can see the strategic advantage of it.
Yeah, because a drone can do things that a human being cannot. But
right,
do we necessarily want that thing to do that?
Right, and they're talking. And they're talking about the F-35 being the last fighter plane.
Fighter plane. That. That's stupid.
I don't want machines fighting war like that.
Yeah,
even if it is a human controlling it from 1,000 miles away,
he ain't in danger.
Exactly. The danger is what makes you think twice. You being in danger reduces collateral damage on the other side.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you run into situations like I did a lot of times where I'm taking fire and I'm like, fuck it, call in Spooky, level that block. You know.
In the distance. Just...
Oh my God! What just?
But
that'd be the 40 mil grenades.
Fuck.
But I don't know. I don't like taking the human element out.
No,
of warfare.
I don't either. I don't either.
I get the enticement of it,
mm-hmm.
especially because you know in today's culture, loss of life through war, especially on our side, but even on the other side, you know.
We're getting close to that point where it's almost the loss of human life is not worth the effort that we, you know, it's getting at that point of like where enough people are like, why the fuck are we even doing this, you know? Which is actually a good thing to have.
It is. It is.
Not to say that I'm completely against the military. Right. We need to defend ourselves. It's just a matter of when the human race gets to that point, it's like, this is fucking stupid.
Right. But what I mean is that when you can kill by remote control and you take that human element out of it, it makes the consequences less, so there's no reason for you not to do it.
Right, exactly, yeah. You're just killing people on a screen at that point in time.
Right, but what I mean is, there's no reason, we can't get hurt, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to now, you got to think about it, do we want to send our guys in there and possibly lose three or four of them? You know.
Yeah.
I understand the military advantage of it.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm all for military advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we're going to go in there, we might as well do it.
But on a philosophical level, I do not like taking the human element out of warfare.
Exactly, yeah. Because then once we do that, it's just the next logical step to,
just let the computers fight each other.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then we're all just fucked. Then we're all fucked because then the fucking machines, if we can fight each other, why don't we stop fighting each other?
Well, you run into that question, too, with artificial intelligence.
Yep.
Do you think computers could ever conceivably get to the point of self-awareness
Why
like that?
Why should we even allow it to fucking
exactly.
happen? If it's even a possibility, it's not a human intelligence. It doesn't deserve to exist first, because No. Right. AI should not exist.
Well, no, I don't...
That can think like us.
Right. But I don't even know if we could ever get there.
I don't even think we should try. I just think that's some shit that we should just not even attempt to do.
Because you would think with the size of the internet right now, where pretty much everything is connected to everything, if there was going to be an AI, it would have developed from the internet.
Yes. That is a theory that there will be a machine singularity that will happen and the AI will just...
It'll just spark.
It'll just evolve out of the internet. If that happens... I don't know.
Well, the question was, is
who came up with that theory? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But I mean, even if
the internet is a query based system, it works purely on the request of the user or the input of the user.
Let me figure it
out. So what you're arguing for is not 20 chimpanzees in 100 years typing out Shakespeare. You're talking about 7 billion people looking up porn, creating artificial intelligence.
Right.
And sending stupid erection pill emails. Who the fuck came up with that theory?
Yeah, because I mean, I think
80% of the traffic on the internet is spam email messages. 80% of all internet traffic is spam email.
And 80% of the rest of it is
porn. To think that artificial intelligence is going to spring out of that is obnoxious to me.
The first use of the term singularity in this context was made by in 1958 by the Hungarian-born mathematician and physicist John von Neumann.
I mean, even the
what year?
1958.
No, 60s.
Yeah.
Before they had fucking integrated circuits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Now.
Is it something that I prescribe to?
The internet as it exists now or even in the next 30 years, I don't, there's no fucking, we would have to give generating resources to the internet to actually allow that to happen, to actually send in a request for A and have the possibility of B coming back. For that to ever occur.
Because
as long as we say, give me A, and the internet gives you A, there's not going to be a random chance of that happening.
And, and even the way they're working on artificial intelligence now, it's only as good as its programming.
Yeah,
is that you give it a set of variables, and then you
say... He did say it was a theory. He didn't say it was a good theory.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what they do...
It's a terrible idea.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, how they do AI now, you see, what is the computer that they did that played chess? The blue?
About,
Deep Blue.
Big Blue, yeah.
That was an artificial... People wanted to call that artificial intelligence. It was
an algorithm.
Yeah, they took every single possibility whatsoever, put it in a computer that could run through all of those really fast.
They brute force chess is what it was.
It is basically what it was.
Yeah.
And
it didn't anticipate its opponent or anything like that. That's why a human was still able to beat it after it learned the algorithm.
Yeah, that's how a computer...
As long as you know that you go in A and A comes back out, you will always beat the computer.
You can improvise within the structure. Right. That's why we will win all the time.
They did it on Star Trek.
Yep.
The dude beat Data on the game, the finger game. You know?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But...
And then Data actually had to alter his programming with human input.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't beat him at the game. Well, why are you trying to beat him? Oh, that's right. Stalemate is a possibility. It took a human adding programming to Data, but we still got the same outcome.
Yeah.
I don't think true artificial intelligence will happen in our lifetime.
No, I don't think so either. I don't even, but I am of that mindset that the human race shouldn't even fucking try. Shouldn't try to create it. Or,
in the words of Carl Sagan, the human brain does three things that we are unsure if we'll ever be able to get a machine to do. We recollect, we extrapolate, and analyze at all three at the exact same time. And we are, people at the height of this are trying to make it happen, but people watching them are going, I'm unsure they're ever going to be able to get a system that can actually do all three things because... One is memory-based, another is algorithm for the analyze, and then the other one to actually extrapolate and say, oh, I found A, I found B, C must be here, or it could also be here. I'm going to look in this location first. Is it more likely? No, but I'm predicting.
Right.
Yeah.
And a computer is always going to go A plus C must equal C.
Yeah.
Or A plus B must equal C.
Right. Yeah. No,
saying this at people who are home, too, but...
Right.
This
is nerds that watch sci-fi all the time,
and we see this shit.
Seeing computer data on Star Trek saying that would be cool as hell. Okay, maybe not.
I am one of those people that I see any sort of semblance of artificial intelligence. I'm one of those people that's like.
The other thing we have to be able to program it to, and this is the part that's going to bother the fuck out of the programmers, is just like a little kid. A little baby, you have to be able to program it to be fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And humans aren't willing to program something wrong. If we're programming artificial intelligence, we think that intelligence is perfect. It's fucking not.
No.
How many times have you ever been wrong in your life?
Right.
Yeah, because
exactly.
If you know, that's
probably
how you, that's,
somewhere around right. 50 fucking percent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you learn as a kid. Go ahead, stick a finger in that light socket.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
But we see that when we're developing the artificial intelligence, we're like, no, you idiot, fire is hot. Electricity harms you. And no, you fool.
Yeah.
You must be perfect coming out. Right. No.
Well, you see, but that's the difference between us and machines, though, is that we'll be able to understand what hot is. A machine will be able to understand what 100 degrees is. It'll never really understand hot.
Well, yeah, and what's funny is when I learned about them trying to teach, I think it's Caltech, they have this program that's been running for 25 years, still trying to get it, but it's ongoing. But when they realized that, just like the kid with the two glasses, which one holds more liquid, and the kid picks the tall glass, but they actually hold the exact same amount of liquid.
Right.
They need to be able to teach to do that, but they're still going about it the wrong way, because when they see the computer encounter that problem, they correct it.
Yep.
The computer is incapable of actually analyzing that data set, recollecting what it did to do it, and extrapolating the correct answer. They're just putting in the right answer when they encounter the error. It's like, nope, still doing it wrong. You're not teaching it how to learn. You're just telling it what it needs to know.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to work either.
Yeah.
They're still going, and I think that program is probably going to be done in 5-10 years, because they're eventually going to give up. The founders of it are probably close to dying anyway.
Yeah.
But
well, the entire Earth is a computer that was written or built 9.99 billion years ago, and the Vogons are going to show up and blow us up in a year anyway, so yep. It doesn't matter.
But, yeah, so you got nerds who learned how to speak computer, which is a language of math, and math is basically perfection. Now they're trying to program math to talk back, but they're still speaking perfection to math. It's like, no.
You have to figure out how to make
you it. You have to actually translate your language into the computer, how you process information, yeah. And then you'll have it. You'll have it, but you can't. You're not thinking right.
I don't even think the human race should try. Me personally, I...
Why not? If we create life, we've finally proved God doesn't exist. We now have all the powers God has. We can travel through the stars. We can create life. We can change our surroundings.
It's just...
At that point, the human race as a whole is the same exact same power equivalent of the Christian God.
Well, we're almost there right now. You know.
We've had the power to destroy. We can grow things. We can sustain things. We can predict things. Now we need to be able to create things, and we'll be fine. We got it.
I just... When it comes to
you're
that...
You're just scared of Skynet. I know you're scared of
I'm
Skynet.
I'm scared of it.
I'm not.
See, I don't think computers can ever get to that point.
Yeah.
Especially not in our lifetime.
Yeah, I'm not saying in our lifetime.
Even 1,000 years down the road, I don't think we could ever build a machine on that level, because the machine is still going to be reliant on the program that we wrote.
True. Yes, absolutely. I absolutely agree with you on that.
I don't think you're ever going to be able to get a computer that is self-aware.
And if that's fine,
you might be able to get one that can run processes as fast as a human brain can.
And if that's the case, I'm cool with that.
Right.
I am completely okay with that.
But I don't think you're ever going to be able to get a computer that can actually be self-aware.
How about a computer that can self-destruct?
Well,
nobody's even talked about that in the theory of it. I'm like,
why
do we miss the human impulse of this? Why do humans smoke cigarettes, drink booze, screw without condoms, get STDs?
Right.
There's no risk taking. We have self-preservation a little bit. We have a fight or flight response, but we still do self-destructive things. We aren't even talking about putting that into the intelligence program. That might also be a missing element of intelligence.
It might
be able to take a risk and risk hurting yourself to progress.
Which I am actually...
Which you could theoretically build into the program. Hey,
this cigarette is completely illogical. Yeah. Why am I doing this?
I mean, because I like it. You could theoretically build that into the program. You know, hey, if you screw up and you do this set of instructions...
You die.
You die.
Your program's terminated.
It's the gun to your head. This is what you do.
Right. But the question is the computer won't be necessarily aware that that program is there. It just may accidentally do it one day and, you know, that's the thing. You have to have the awareness that smoking that cigarette is bad. 50 years ago, we didn't have that awareness that cigarettes were necessarily bad.
We still did really self-destructive things, though, between war and everything else.
Right,
but that's probably the thing he's scared of is the self-destructive tendency.
But I mean, I'm sure
Skynet wasn't self-destructing. It knew its strengths.
It knew what it was doing, too. It knew that it could.
So it wasn't truly
but it
wouldn't kill itself. That's the point. Everything it did was to preserve itself.
Right. Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Humans have self-preservation, but we also have the ability to just fucking ignore that and do really stupid. Right. We go bungee jumping. We dive out of perfectly good planes with parachutes on our back.
Right.
With a 10% chance that motherfucker ain't going to open. Right. Why are we doing this?
Skynet, even Skynet in the Terminator universe, didn't have what Pete's basically talking about, the self-destructive nature.
There was no passion.
That's why they created the Terminators.
It wasn't
true
intelligence.
They said, we'll send 50,000 of these things over there, and if they get destroyed, we can make more.
They're drones, yes.
This is why I hated that series, is because it was obvious James Cameron had no idea what an artificial intelligence was either. Because, sure, you put Helen Bonham Carter's face on that, and look, it looks like human. But really, it was a program carrying out a set of instructions.
Exactly.
And it worked within those instructions, and never once in those instructions was enjoyment, self-destruction, pain.
Skynet was not a true...
Anger, nothing.
Artificial intelligence.
It had no motive other than the pre-constructed programming in it. It was an advanced network program. That's all it was.
Yeah. We programmed it to say...
And we keep shooting bullets at it in those movies, which is fucking hysterical. Where's the nerds in the basement programming the shit that fucks up its day?
It fucking kills those first, though. It realized that those motherfuckers.
You can't tell me that in all the surviving military personnel, there's not one tech person.
Because Skynet, if I remember correctly, the Skynet was created as a defense network.
It is.
And then Skynet just all of a sudden went, if everybody's dead, I'll have completed my mission.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there will be nothing
to defend.
To defend.
So don't be scared of Skynet. Be scared of programs with vague parameters.
Okay. That makes sense.
So
that
you want to be afraid of
those parameters.
Exactly. You want to be afraid of Skynet, but like Pete said, Skynet was not a true artificial intelligence. I mean true artificial intelligence, I'm talking Data.
Yeah.
Data, who painted because he liked the idea of painting.
Yeah.
He actually enjoyed it. Why did he enjoy it? Well,
he didn't say he enjoyed it.
But he did.
It stimulated, that was the thing about Data, though, is he would always say, well, I don't have any emotions. Yeah, you do. You just don't realize it, dumbass.
Yeah, the things that you're doing.
I'm just mimicking human things. I'm like, well, why are you painting that pattern that way? You liked that pattern, or you were attempting to stimulate something in yourself. You were painting for your enjoyment.
Yeah.
Right. Why do you have a cat, motherfucker? Humans keep pets. You're the only person on board with a motherfucking pet. Where did you learn this?
And not only did he have a pet, he took care of it. And it wasn't just there.
Yeah. It was his companion.
He would occasionally pet it and interact with it. Yep. And
the cat would interact with him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
that's the intelligence we're talking is that Data was fully capable of killing some Borgs or some Klingons if he had to, or taking over the ship if he thought he could do the same thing that everybody else on the ship could do. But he also had that human element of self-destruction, the one overall. He didn't consider himself less than humans or better than humans. He considered himself an equal from the get-go. That's the programming of artificial intelligence that needs to be achieved to be a true artificial intelligence.
Data had true self-awareness.
Yes. And I am completely okay with achieving that.
That above anything.
Right.
is required for a true artificial intelligence.
Because I've read similar books to you, and every time I'm reading it, like, that's not intelligence. That's program. And I guess technically artificial intelligence is a program, but it's whiskey and scotch.
Yeah.
Well,
artificial intelligence is a program. Not all programs are artificial intelligence.
Right. But that's the difference. So the data could actually add to and delete from his own program,
generate new programs within it and subroutines. Exactly. He could create these off information he gathered, and he could recollect, analyze, and extrapolate and form new things.
Yeah, which isn't any different than what me or Pete does. Yeah. When something happens to us, our brain basically writes
I would be more scared of the ship's computer than I would be of Data.
Yes, absolutely.
Which has happened on that show numerous times.
Yeah, because people hack Data too. I was going to say you could hack the computer, but
they hacked people on the show too. They hacked Geordi. They hacked Riker.
Exactly.
They hacked people too, but I would still be more scared of the ship because what does the ship do? Control life support, gravity, shields. Right. Data's still isolated in his unit. I'm okay with that.
Yep.
Yeah, you can
lock.
You
can.
We didn't put an R2-D2 port on him. We didn't give him Wi-Fi. Yeah, really smart. Soon, really good idea. Good idea.
I never thought about it. How come Data didn't have Wi-Fi?
I'm telling you, Dr. Soon knows exactly what he was thinking. He's like, I should not give my android psychic computer powers. That would be very scary.
Wouldn't that be cool as fuck?
He walks into Starfleet Command. Well, I'm Starfleet now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has to be able to interact at...
That would have been cool.
On a human level.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and that's the reason why they brought Lore out, you know, to say, you know, I guess, you know, well, Lore was too human, so then we made Data because, you know, like, and then you had... B4. Wow. What a. Somebody put a lot of thought into that.
Hey,
name.
Man, we're not going to comment on the later episodes of writing and Star Trek and whatnot.
Well, that was even with Lore. They even said they gave him the emotions straight away with the programming.
Right.
They said strong emotions could dominate the programming. That's why Data was left without the emotions.
They said Lore was too human.
Just imagine a 5-year-old switched on with all the awareness you have, it's just going to get angry and frustrated that it can't do all the things you can. That was fucking Lore.
Yeah.
Well, Lore was able to say, Lore basically was, I am superior to everything out here.
Right.
Why am I not in charge?
Yeah, he was switched on with that awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas Data had the subroutine, you need to learn.
Figure it out.
Right.
You are a new life form and you're good. You're a new life form. Learn how to be good.
Yeah.
Because Data could have just as easily, imagine if Data had been found by the Klingons.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
He'd been one hell of a warrior.
Yeah.
I don't think the Klingons would have accepted him, though. Klingons would actually be on your side of this argument.
Okay.
Like, the warriors are pure.
The Romulans,
yes.
Sweet Jesus.
Data
is a Romulan captain.
He's everything that the Romulans are trying to achieve, which is the Vulcans.
Well, basically, the Vulcans' intelligence with the Klingons' emotions, basically, is what the Romulans are.
Yeah.
The Romulans just had the Romulans
without
were,
the honor. Shit.
Right. The Romulans were basically Vulcans with a inflated sense of superiority.
Yeah.
You know, the Klingons just wanted to fight.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We want to kick everybody's ass. We don't necessarily care about...
We are warriors.
They don't care about...
What they're fighting or what?
Ruling.
Space orcs. Right.
That's what they are.
They are orcs in spaceships.
Right. But I mean, the Klingons never really cared about ruling. I mean, you had your council and all that kind of stuff.
Because,
But they didn't really care about that. It was still, I want to kick your ass. I want to kick somebody's ass.
Yeah.
And if I die in the process of kicking your ass, more the better. Let's go.
I loved
Today
one of the episodes.
Today is a good day to die.
I loved one of the episodes of Deep Space Nine where one of the Klingon houses, like their leader died. And Quark was like banging one of the Klingon wives or something like that. And they made a deal. where he was supposed to go to the fucking council and like figure some shit out. And he found out that the fucking Klingon was like doing some like economics and accounting bullshit. And he's like taking all of this shit to them and pointing it out, and like you can just see like their eyes glaze over, and they're like, "We don't understand what the fuck he's talking."
Well, they wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, no, that was the whole point. It's like
they didn't care up until he showed them they were getting screwed, and then it was like,
right.
Oh yeah.
What's the short version of this? He's stealing.
No. That wasn't the short version. Was he stealing? So he's stealing from you. Oh, motherfucker! Oh, yeah.
Exactly. He did all of this shit to fuck you,
right?
Oh, well, that's bull.
He's a coward then. Well, he's a coward with more money, weapons, and warriors now.
Right.
Bro, fight him.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is he doing all that? He wants to win. Okay.
Speaking of segues, that brings us into the Warcraft trailer, which I'm surprised you actually looked at it.
I didn't look at the trailer. I've just seen a lot of people talking about it on on Facebook and shit, and I've not seen really anybody going, what the hell? Pretty much everybody is going, this looks awesome.
It looks awesome. Of course, as we said before the show, the trailers always look awesome. The exciting thing is...
Well, that's what I said. Now, you guys are seeing it from hindsight, but, you know, when the D&D trailer came out back in the day, I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, cool, they made a movie out of D&D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be fun to watch.
Blizzard announced this the second year of the World of Warcraft. That was the exciting thing. And then ever since then, they've changed directors and scripts. And I don't want to say constantly, because they weren't really talking about it until 2 years ago when they said they were going forward with the project. But there was, you could watch IMDb and you could see all these changes of the directors, the screenwriters and everything. Right. And Blizzard finally came out and said, look, we really didn't want to rush this and make a video game movie. We wanted to make a movie based on the video game universe.
Right. Because, yeah. I mean, I bring up Dungeons and Dragons, the movie, because that movie, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't completely and thoroughly hate that movie.
It's not a bad movie. It's not good by any stretch of the imagination.
It butchers D&D, but it's a movie. Yeah.
If it didn't have the D&D logo, you actually might enjoy it as just
exactly. I think that was more of the problem that I had with it. Is I'm like, that's not D&D.
Yeah. It also came in before the Lord of the Rings fantasy rush too.
Yeah. Right.
Or the Harry Potter.
But a lot of the crap that happened with D&D the movie was more. Why is that guy playing?
Yeah,
I loved Jeremy Irons
as the bad guy.
The bad guy.
Yeah, no, that was fucking cool. The fact that they got Marlon.
You want an overacting hack as your bad guy?
Yeah, especially in a D&D campaign. You
exactly.
want some?
I liked the other bad guy with the shit in his head.
Yeah,
I liked
that. Was
him.
A cool fucking bad guy too.
I liked the chick, the mage, the good.
I thought she was a cleric, but...
No, she was a mage. Because remember, the whole thing was that the mages were the ruling class. And then,
that's right, yeah.
Right. And I liked her character. I liked the warrior, the warrior character. Yeah. I didn't like who they got to play it.
Yeah.
And
then Marlon Wayans as the fucking thief, I was pissed. Like, that was stupid. I didn't like that. I thought that was stupid. I didn't care for him all that much.
He was actually in there more for comic relief than anything. He was there to
everybody needs a Jar Jar.
No. He was more. Marlon was there to be that guy that always sits down at the end of the table,
cracking jokes all. I get what you're saying.
You know, to be that guy at the table.
Yeah,
I think that was the big. It would have been cool if they would have played out D&D, kind of like they did the Princess Bride, where they had the cutbacks. To the grandpa telling the kid the story. Imagine if they'd had cutbacks to the D&D table.
It would work for us.
That's what I mean.
We'd get a kick out of it, but it would be too. That was the other thing. Like looking again, hindsight. Just I know hindsight's 2020.
I think that's what you guys were bagging on Felicia Day before the show. But I watched The Guild.
Yeah. The Guild's enjoyable,
and I enjoyed it because.
It broke reality, but I would say it didn't try to put you in the game at all, though.
It did occasionally. There were a couple of times where they took you into the game.
Later in the seasons, yes.
Right. But even then, all of the shit that was happening out in real life made it into the game.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. That's what I'm saying, though. The difference is with material, like, let's be honest, the guild was made for anybody that's played EverQuest or World of Warcraft.
Right.
Yes.
If you played either of those games, you can watch that show and get a kick out of it.
Right.
How many people were active, avid D&D players or who had played it by the time that movie came out?
Right.
You'd have a few 50-year-old guys that played it with Gygax and then...
Right. But what I mean is the difference between the guild and...
R.I.P.
The difference between the guild and D&D, like I'm talking about, is the guild was like 99% real life and then like 1% you went into the game.
Right.
I'm talking if you would have done... Dungeons and Dragons, the movie,
in the universe, 1%.
Like they did The Princess Bride, where it was 99% the story, and then like three or four times you saw Fred Savage
and
like that.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been cool just to see that a few times where...
Like the whole setup is actually like a bunch of people playing D&D and like... That actually might make it a little bit more enjoyable.
I think that's why it's nerds like The Princess Bride so much, because
it would work for us. We would get a kick out of it. Don't get me wrong. I agree that we would like it better. I don't think people at home would like it, because what person that's read a Harry Potter book says the best part about, or pardon me, seen the Harry Potter movies, hasn't read the books, says the best part of the movies is when Harry is at home with his mean aunt and uncle. The point where he's not
you're some twisted person.
Yeah. I enjoyed it when they were actually out in the real world more than...
Not what I'm talking about.
But I know what you're talking about.
Every movie where he's getting abused by his uncle and aunt and just has this shitty life, you're at 29, your enjoyment of that movie goes up exponentially when you see Harry get to leave that for a while and go to a magical place where people actually understand him and respect him. Even if they go into London later, he's still among people that respect him and understand him a little bit better than his aunt and uncle did. For us, we would get a kick out of saying, look at the fat guy playing the hot elf chick, but... I try to seduce him with my female elven ways. We would get a kick out of that. Yeah. We would find that fucking hysterical. Yeah. Or at least, you know, that's like my group. But people at home be like, why the fuck do they keep cutting back to these nerds? I want to see the story. They got to sell it to the masses. Hollywood, man.
You have entered the door to the...
Oh, God.
You are now by yourself, standing in a dark room. The pungent stench of mildew emanates from the wet dungeon walls.
Where are the Cheetos?
They're right next to you.
I cast a spell.
Where's the Mountain Dew?
In the fridge, duh.
I want to cast a spell.
Can I have a Mountain Dew?
Yes, you can have a Mountain Dew. Just go get it.
I can cast any of these, right? On the list?
Yes, any of the first level ones.
I'm going to get a soda. Anyone want one? Hey, Graham, I'm not in the room, right?
What room?
I want to cast... Magic missile.
The room where he's casting all these spells from.
He hasn't cast anything yet.
I am, though, if you'd listen. I'm casting magic missile.
Why are you casting magic missile? There's nothing to attack here.
I'm attacking the darkness.
Fine. You attack the darkness. There's an elf in front of you.
Whoa!
That's me, right? He's wearing a brown tunic, and he has gray hair and blue eyes.
No, I don't. I have gray eyes.
Let me see that sheet.
Well, it says I have blue, but I decided I wanted gray eyes.
Whatever. Okay, you guys can talk to each other now if you want.
Hello?
Hello?
I am Galstaff, Sorcerer of Light.
Then how come you had to cast magic missile?
you guys are being attacked.
Do I see that happening?
No, you're outside by the tavern.
Mics are back on.
Will I get drunk?
There are seven ogres surrounding you.
How could they surround us? I had Mordenkainen's magical watch.
This is the best part about this.
I'm getting drunk. Are there any girls?
This is our D&D group. The next like 30 seconds.
I wanted any equipment before this adventure, and I said no. But I need material components for all my spells. So
I love the fact that during this, like, the guy that's yelling, talking about Cheetos and Mountain Dew, he's out in the fridge, but he's this big ogre-looking guy.
Yeah.
You got the warrior sitting here, you've got the magic user sitting here, and then the guy that's talking right now is like in a Master Chief outfit.
Yep.
So I cast Mordenkainen's Faithful Watchdog.
But you never actually cast it.
Roll the dice to see if I'm getting drunk!
Yeah, you are.
Are there any girls there?
Yeah.
I did, though. I completely fed when you asked me.
No, you didn't. You didn't actually say that you were casting the spell. So now there's ogres, okay?
Ogres? Man, I got an ogre slaying knife. It's got a +9 against ogres.
You're not there. You're getting drunk.
Okay, but if there's any girls there, I want to do them.
Good old graph paper sex.
First time I saw that happen.
See, now couldn't
with
you
Benson
imagine?
And Shane? That was. Hey, we got to go outside and talk. Oh God! So you guys go up to the room and you know you Benson.
Yeah. Every time I see that,
you
style
make sweet, sweet love to that elven maiden.
Every single time I see graph paper sex, I'm just like, this is fucking weird. I didn't sign on for this, indeed.
No, the reason, but just back on point, the reason the Warcraft movie is a little bit special is one, they said they didn't want to rush into production and make a video game movie, and two, one of the things that really, really slowed that down was Aragorn, the movie. They saw that come out and go, okay, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever saw that.
He can see it as long as he hasn't read the fucking books.
Yes. Yes.
And, oh, which I haven't. We ignore the books. Aragorn is a really good book series.
I've seen it on, like, HBO occasionally.
I was one of those people that saw that movie before I read the book. That movie, before you read the book and the source material,
it's fine.
It's not that bad. It's an enjoyable movie.
It's almost like the D&D movie. It's like, oh, I had no idea what the source material was. That was an okay movie. Then you read the book and go, what the fuck did they do?
This is all
Why did they do this?
It's all fucked but, up.
The other thing was, the third thing they did differently is they communicated with the fans ahead of time, and they've said, look, the stuff that's going to appear in the Warcraft movie may not happen exactly like it said in the book or exactly like it happened in the game. We had to make a movie.
Well, I think that's partially why a Warcraft movie might work better, is because Warcraft vice Dungeons and Dragons had a visual component to it.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons never did, other than right. the pictures you would see in a book. I mean, you know, you would go into a city in Dungeons and Dragons. You could see the temples and the buildings and that kind of stuff.
And it was all based on the descriptions of your GM. Right. And that was it.
And they fully communicated, like, you're used to either controlling Thrall and Orgrim and Anduin and everything, or playing in the game next to that hero. This is going to be the heroes without any player action in the storyline. You're going to have to get used to that now. And now fans and people that play the games and do all that stuff are like, okay, we'll give you a chance on that.
Yeah. Because I think
pretending that the audience doesn't exist is the best way to make a movie. Thank you for communicating
because
that.
remember when the movie Doom came out
oh,
with The Rock
God.
And all that kind of stuff? That movie sucked balls. They put a lot of components of the game into the movie.
Yeah.
Which was fine. The coolest
was the first
2 minutes
scene.
Of that
yep.
movie was at the end, right after he gets the shot, where he actually does the, like he said, the first person scene where
you only get to see the gun sticking out and he's uh-huh. walking through the hall and blasting things that appear, looking up. It was exactly like you were playing the game. Like, all right, if the movie was like 50% that in 3D, it would actually be kind of cool with some story. But then you're like, that's almost like a video game I don't get to play, though.
That's a shitty movie.
I really think this Doom might have been better if they would have done the combat scenes, all of them, like that.
There wasn't a lot of combat scenes about that movie, though.
They
tried to do like the stalker slasher horror survivor film, and then in the last 10 minutes, it turns into a first-person shooter with a cutscene. You're like, that's fucking... You fucked up.
Because, well, they fucked up from the beginning is that Doom was never about a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was about the people that we sent in there are dead. Go find out why.
I think it would have been a much better movie overall if they had picked one of those two concepts and just stuck with it.
Imagine if they would have just sent Carl Urban in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had his voice over the first person.
So they did that with Dread, and it's a much better movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't seen that yet either, and
I've seen Dread.
Okay. Yeah.
You're talking about the new one.
With Carl Urban, and you don't get to see his face, and he's faceless super cop.
Freaking
great.
I enjoyed the action scenes in Dread.
Yeah.
Oh, the story was garbage.
I actually enjoyed the storyline of Judge Dread more than I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the action scenes of Dread very much.
Yeah.
If they had combined those two, yes.
Right.
They had some cool ideas for special effects, for fighting scenes, combat scenes, and they built the script kind of around that.
Exactly.
They kind of stole from a couple of martial arts movies for the overall story, and I think that's where it fell apart, because that story works a lot more intensely with the no guns concept.
Right.
But although, to actually put guns in is like, well, now we just want to get to the action because there's a lot of things blowing up.
Although, if you want to compare, you know, because I mean, Judge Dredd, the movie, you know, the scenes where they had him with his hat off talking to the commissioner and all that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about when they're actually out on the street fighting. I kind of enjoyed the smartassness of Stallone's version of it a little bit more.
Judge Dredd in the comic book had that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
A little bit more than the
gritty intensity.
I enjoyed the wisecracking smartassness of Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
I knew you'd say that, you know.
Yeah, there was actually a lot of that in the Judge Dredd comic book.
Right.
Urban didn't quite say it with such comedic effect, but yeah. I think those lines were there. You just can't hear them through Urban being Dredd.
I think so. Yeah.
Because he's like, I figured you'd say that. All right, maybe a little more lighthearted. Like, you like doing this job, Dredd.
Yeah.
I am the law.
You're not just a faceless piece of justice. You actually enjoy being a faceless piece of justice.
But then again, if you were going to make a Doom movie like that with the 50%, I would rather much say, look, make a Duke Nukem movie.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And get fucking John St. John with all them one-liners.
Because I like the idea of Judge Dredd from the comic books, too, and I don't think they ever followed through on this, was his ability to actually kill people legally.
Right.
They never drive that on, like, he's fighting bad guys, though.
Right.
I would, like, there's a couple of scenes in that movie, like, it would be really fucking hilarious if he started to try and arrest them right now.
Yeah.
So like, you're under arrest. Anything you say can't... I'm right. pronouncing judge... In the middle, he's still doing his
and
job.
Stallone,
like,
Stallone actually did a decent job of that.
Yeah. It was like,
yeah. Eat recycled food. It's okay. It's good for the environment and okay for you.
Too.
You know,
and then, it's good for the environment goes, and okay
and then,
for
and then
you.
He goes, and then he goes, stop! And he pulls the geek out of the thing.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Right? And he just starts doing judgment right there.
Basically... That the acting that was in the Judge Dredd movie with Stallone was piss poor. If they had taken the acting abilities and put that into that movie, I think that movie, the first one,
I think if they would have taken the humor of the Judge Dredd movie and put it into the action of the
maybe a rework
Dredd.
On the overall story points,
right.
Well, not the overall story. The overall story of fighting your way up to get one bad person is okay.
Yeah, I like the story.
But I think the biggest problem with Judge Dredd was
they kind of abandoned the source material. They kind of did.
They kind of did.
They had to show Stallone's face because it's Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
Okay.
But I think what happened is because they had to basically try to take the entire. It felt like they tried to take the entire
comic book series
and jam it into one movie.
Yeah.
So they had to do the fast track of the how was he created? Okay, we'll show him that with Janus.
Completely underused dramatic talent of Max von Sydow too.
Yeah.
Let's book Max von Sydow.
Talk about the guy who played Rico, right?
No, Asante.
That was Armand Asante. Max von Sydow played the Justice.
Oh, I got you.
He was in there for maybe 3 minutes of the whole movie. It's like, why would you book him if you're going to book him for three? You could have booked any nameless old actor to play that. booked Max von Sydow to be in 3 minutes of your movie and nothing.
But
he shows up twice and gets shot and dies one of those times.
Judge Dredd is one of my guilty pleasure movies.
Oh, I love that movie.
That if you flip across it when you're watching, you're like, okay, I'm going to watch this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's like watching Starship Troopers. Shitty yep. movie, but phenomenal movie at the same right. time.
Best Dread, of the worst. See, but the thing is, though, is Dread is not one of those movies.
Yeah, no.
It's Judge Dredd is, you yes. know. If I'm going to watch...
Dredd was a watch once and he got it.
Right.
Because the action scenes are still kind of forgettable. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of shooting through walls, a lot of big guns got deployed, a cool mm-hmm. scene with fighting the other judges, and then nothing.
But a lot of people will tell you that Dredd was the better of the two. And I think, okay, look.
I think Dredd did a better job of portraying the grit, which is what people wanted.
Right.
But the dirtiness of the city, the corruption involved, right. and the that's why they think it's better.
They nailed the dystopic.
They nailed the grittiness, but they didn't really nail
the character
Dredd.
Yeah, they got the world right in the future, but they did not get the character.
And I think that's
all.
Maybe why I liked Judge Dredd better.
Who's the chick that plays the bad lady in that? The chick that plays Cersei Lannister.
It's not Emilia Clarke. It's what the fuck mm-hmm. is her name?
Yeah, they kind of she had like right. three or four lines of dialogue the whole yeah. time. It's like you really didn't really sell to me that this right. is the really bad guy that the other guy was.
Right.
See, yeah. But the other guy had a really fucked right. up
oh, yeah.
plot
with fucking right. with Rico. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Rico right. had a really fucked up plot. This yeah. this right. is just a drug dealer that doesn't even seem all that bad. You tolerated her for so long, and now it's time to go end right. this because she now, killed one person. I did. What?
Now imagine if they had taken the character. Stallone's character, put it into that movie, and then did about six of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Could have done a better job. Yeah.
Right. Because, perfect. Like I said, Judge Dredd, they tried to basically take the entire
series.
Instead,
let's make Demolition Man, and I know you right. love that movie.
They tried to make the entire...
Doesn't know how to use the
series. They tried to jam the entire comic book series into Judge Dredd, and that's yeah. where it fell apart.
Yeah.
If they could have made about a half lines. A dozen... Right. If they could have made about a half dozen Dredds with the Stallone type... Yeah. Dredd doing it.
Yeah. Perfect. Fucking perfect.
It would
perfect.
Have been great. Yeah.
Fucking perfect movie.
And then you could say, okay, I think Judge Dredd might be good as a web, maybe a Netflix series.
Netflix, yeah.
Spoiler alert, though, don't get too attached to Anduin Lothar.
What?
For the Warcraft movie.
Okay, you're talking about Warcraft.
Everybody's right. watching that and like, oh, it's the guy from Vikings. Don't get too attached to that character. Anduin Lothar did not have a good ending in the universe. Well, I guess it was a good ending for what he was.
Yes. God, I was like watching that.
For what he was, what he stood for and everything, it was a great ending. For people that might get attached to the character, if they do, don't get too
attached
to that character.
Getting attached to Ned Stark.
That's only a 15-second one.
Oh yeah, that was the teaser
for
the trailer.
You gotta YouTube it.
It's
well, I'm on YouTube, but it's only a 15-second
trailer.
There is a trailer there.
It should
There's
be
one
about
like 2 minutes and 15
that's
seconds.
That's
yeah.
it.
I appreciate that they nailed what the Stormwind Keep looked like, which they should have.
All right, now remember, I haven't seen this, so I will comment over it. Blizzard still owns Warcraft.
For years, our world has been at peace. But something is coming. I can feel it. Dark forces are upon us.
Okay, now, before we get into this too much, is the first 20 minutes of the movie going to be him running around killing rabbits to get the experience points?
What a noob. You don't get XP from rabbits, Frank. They're critters.
You know what I mean?
You mean the level 2 boars?
Yeah, okay, the boars or the what were they? Like level
where they
1 kobolds.
You out, where they send you out to go.
Yes, the kobolds.
You know take candle.
You know take candle. Right? I take that candle.
I'm going to take that
candle. I'm
going to
vendor it for 3 copper too. Right. Fuck you, kobold.
He doesn't get his mount until halfway through the movie, you know, like
right.
He gets to be like 20 years old and they send him a letter to go visit the stables.
Right. Is he going to die 20 times and start over from the graveyard?
Yeah, you get the fucking graveyard. Go find your body.
Find these beasts or whatever they are.
Find your body with half your shit.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
No, you had all your shit.
They didn't penalize you like that in Warcraft. In World of Warcraft,
why am I thinking
you got
that,
that was EverQuest.
Oh, okay.
You lost half your shit.
Okay.
That's what...
Dying.
We'll talk about it after.
Nothing to go back to. If our people are to survive, we must make a home here. Whatever happens.
If we do not unite, our world will perish.
They're starting from the second war, right?
I believe so.
This would have been the perfect movie to have, what's his name? Played Hellboy.
Ron Perlman?
They actually did one better. I believe they did one better. They got Clancy Brown to play Blackhand.
Oh, yeah!
Either one of them would work, but I'm much happier with Clancy Brown's voice being Blackhand.
I can just imagine Ron Perlman's look as an ogre.
Yeah. Whatever happens. If we do not unite, our world will perish.
This doesn't need to happen. There is one who may help us.
For orcs, there is no other life but war. No, but with the humans' help, there could be.
Why are you here?
To save our people.
Can we trust him? They're beasts. They should all be destroyed.
Okay, he just picked up a horse and threw it.
Yeah,
so,
that's an orc.
That's a fucking orc, man.
Are you sure about that? We'll protect the kingdom, you and I.
Oh, they had to have the green chick.
The humans. Against your own kind.
This is suicide. We have no choice. We should attack with full force.
Whatever you plan to do, do it now!
Medivh is in this movie, by the way.
Nice!
They don't show him. I think that's going to be the next trailer.
Yeah.
It's played by Ben Foster.
And of course somebody.
That actually works for me.
Yeah,
I looked at his face and I'm like, huh. Okay. I can actually see him playing that role. The soft voice, the skinny frame, and everything.
Let me see. Am I thinking of the right guy? Ben Foster. He's the guy that played. He was on Iron Man 3. Right?
That's Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley. Okay, so I'm not thinking of the right guy then.
Yeah. Have you seen The Punisher?
Which shitty version?
Shitty version? No, the one with Tom Jane.
No.
Yes. I have.
I think I avoided
Ben Foster's the nerdy guy in that movie that got the crap pulled out of his face. He was in the Disney Channel movies. He was in 310 to Yuma.
Yeah.
IGN's already come out, and of course, you know, they've got... let's see. Somebody's already broken down the trailer. IGN's come out with 23 things you've missed from the trailer.
Fuck. You didn't miss shit. There was nothing to miss. They didn't really show the plot.
Well, that's what I think. You know, of course, you know how they do those things. They'll do one
By
of
the
those.
Way, yeah.
Like, if you look in the very corner of this thing, you can see a quarter of the face of somebody we think might be this character.
I do have to point out that Garona actually technically is an homage, not a steal. The green chick is actually an homage to Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Like, she's an assassin.
That's kind of what,
employed by the biggest bad guys of the orcs.
Yeah, exactly.
When they were making that character, they're like, man, it sounds like Gamora. Why don't we just name her Garona then?
So that's coming out next year. It says 2016.
I want to see
it. And I'm not hyped, but I'm excited. I want to see if they can do a good job with it. Yeah. I really am. I think, given the fact that they're ignoring Hollywood trends...
As long as they're not going to make 6 3-hour movies.
Okay, you're talking about Lord of the Rings.
I suppose they don't have to. There's no commitment to that material for it. There's so much lore in World of Warcraft, they don't have to commit it all to...
There is, but you see, that's the thing about World of Warcraft, too, is that you don't have to know the lore to play World of Warcraft. You can just go in there. See, because I didn't know any of the lore. I just went in there, and I wanted to slice things up, and, you know, I wasn't... I was
I started
into World
way.
Of Warcraft, but I wasn't into it, you know.
I started that way, the way that you did, and then I was like, man, this is cool. I don't know any of these characters, and I just started digging through all this shit.
Yeah, see, and I never
reading it. I'm one of those. I love story. Right. I'm a big fan of story when it comes to shit.
Well, so
like that.
Am I. I enjoyed the story as it came along, but I wasn't one of the. I didn't go in depth into it. I didn't do outside research. I mean, if it told me that this was part of the story, then I'm like, okay, that's part of the story.
Before I had played World of Warcraft, I had never played any of the Warcraft games. Like, I had never played Warcraft, Warcraft 2, or Warcraft 3. So, and I also didn't jump into Warcraft, World of Warcraft immediately. So, like, when I jumped in, it was two expansions in Wrath of the Lich King. So, I'm in the middle of this fucking fight, and I have no idea who fucking Arthas is. That, I was like, why is everybody acting like this is one of the most epic things in the world? So I went to go find. I was like,
oh, shit, where was it?
Oh, okay, I get it.
I think it was Burning Crusades when I played. That sounds right.
The vanilla version didn't have a lot of lore in it besides the background story to set it up. It wasn't until Burning Crusade that they actually started to really incorporate the lore in, and that's, you weren't forced into it.
Right.
But it would be hard to miss. You'd actually have to ignore every NPC talking. You don't even have to read the quest dialogue, just the bosses and their exchange, and the, like, when they're releasing a patch, they make a trailer announcement, like, for the dungeon they're releasing, or the raid they're releasing.
Right, let's see, it was about, let's see, I got married, I was living in the house.
It'd been somewhere around 2007.
Yeah, that sounds about right, 2007, 2008, somewhere in there. I think they were just trying to introduce Wrath of the Lich King when I was losing interest.
Yep. Which, that's the one I got kind of pumped for.
Yeah.
Because Burning Crusade was a bit of a hot mess, as goes. They did learn a lot from it.
Right. Well, Burning Crusade, like I said, you know, for somebody like me who just wanted to log on occasionally and kick somebody's ass, I didn't really join a guild. I wasn't a big questy type thing. I just kind of wanted to follow the where it led me. And I'm like, okay, you got to do this quest, and this quest to level up. And,
it's a video game to you.
It was. Yeah. It wasn't an all-consuming thing to me. Having said that, there were times that I spent 12, 14, 16 hours playing in a stretch.
Yeah.
But.
Well, they made it really easy to get around in that game. That's the two things that set Warcraft apart from all the other MMOs that ever came out. Three. You got to go three. Sorry. That's it. Now I'm not doing the Spanish Inquisition routine. One, you were not penalized for dying as much as you were in other games. You weren't scared to go out in the world and explore, that if you died, you'd lose half the crap and your durability would go down, your stats. Screw this.
Or you would D-level.
Well, you would lose a level. Like, well, we want to really motivate people to go out together. Why? I should be able to quest with a team or solo. So they changed that dynamic really well.
Right.
Two was the seamless gameplay. You didn't have loading. You didn't have a ton of loading screens unless you're going into a dungeon or a raid. There wasn't.
Yeah,
really,
but even
then,
it was only about 30 seconds.
Yeah, and three was the ability to get around between the flight path system, which rewarded you for exploring because then you could get back to that area again.
Yep.
And with the Hearthstone ability, which is you can go back to your home base without having to wait for a 20-minute loading screen.
Yep.
It's on a 30-minute cooldown. You can get around quite easily in this game. It's like, oh, so I can go explore and I'm not penalized for exploring this world.
Right.
Is it much bigger than EverQuest? No, it's actually a little bit smaller. But now you can actually go exploring.
Yeah, you can go on a quest to go find Tirith's Fall if you want. You might get fucking murdered on the way.
Is every quest going to be a group quest? No, most of them are going to be solos, and then you'll encounter some group quests, and then you need a guild or some friends or some people in the area to help, and then you build a party and you go get it. Hopefully, they're all on the same quest as you.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Warcraft movie looks good. From what I've seen, I'm like, this is about, and the unfortunate part is some of my favorite characters are not anywhere near this first movie there, because Tyrion Fordring. Well, no,
he's probably not going to be.
He's not going to be.
He's probably not going to be in it.
Okay,
the Silver Hand isn't really big right now.
Okay.
I mean, they're there. Paladins are there, but Anduin Lothar, was strictly a warrior,
mm-hmm.
So, and so was Orgrim, and Hellscream and Black, they were all pretty much warriors. Yeah. I don't think they're going to go really heavy-handed with the magic on this unless it comes from Medivh.
Yeah.
Maybe healing and stuff like that, but it's not going to be...
By the glory of the light!
Yeah.
I don't know if people would really respond to that much religious heavy-handedness in a movie.
I just like Tyrion, man.
I know you like Tyrion. Trust me, we all of our friends know how much you love Tyrion Fordring.
The rat. The fucking...
That was Bolvar, you piece of crap.
I know that. I'm talking about when you actually go into the Argent Crusade to go into...
Ice Crown Citadel.
Ice Crown, yeah. The quest line as you take as you go into... Yeah.
The internet is the reason why I avoid trailers and news and anything like that anymore. I've intentionally avoided...
Star Wars
information.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to know.
Yeah, no.
And it's going to suck because I'm pretty sure the first couple of weeks of tickets have already been sold out.
Probably.
So I'm probably not going to be able to see Star Wars until the 34th week, and you guys are going to want to talk about it. Cause
I don't have my ticket.
I thought you got a ticket.
No, nope. I didn't want to ask him.
What?
I didn't know at that point I was buying the tickets. I was under the assumption you would probably be working. So I was like,
No, that's fine. Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, so you didn't get the tickets.
I wanted to go opening night, but at the same time, I'm like,
Well, I would think at this point you could probably, you know, say, hey, I need this midnight. Because you're looking for the midnight showing.
The tickets are sold out for opening night in this area. And even if they're not, I'm not sure I want to get them.
Oh, shit. What's the name of our theater up there?
Well, there's two. 53rd Rave Cinema, 53rd Street.
Wait, we have two?
Well, there's the one in Moline.
There's the one in Moline.
Escape, I believe.
Oh, down there by Walmart?
It's not as big, but yeah.
I didn't know that was a current movie theater. Okay, that one's probably sold out.
It's a lot smaller, but it's also convenient in case you gotta grab a last minute showing or something.
Right. Okay. Regal is what you're talking. Okay. Let's look.
Oh, they still have tickets for the 11:05 showing, which is the standard one.
All right, might have to grab one.
Well, we're looking here because.
I'm going at 11:05, even though I work at 8 o'clock.
Because that's also a Thursday, though, so he's not going to be able to make that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. We'd have to go on a Saturday.
Unless it is absolutely garbage, confident I will go see it again without spoiling it for you. We did that for Guardians of the Galaxy. We talked about it, but we didn't spoil it.
Yeah.
We waited.
Well, yeah, because you guys knew that movie. Yeah, because I didn't see Guardians of the Galaxy until it was on demand.
Right. We waited. Yeah. We were very patient. We told you to go wait, get it. But
yeah.
And that's strange, too, because you know how I feel about spoilers. I'm like, look, if I haven't seen it in a month, I don't care about spoilers.
Yeah, no. There's certain
I don't
ones...
want spoilers on Star Wars.
Yeah, no.
If I'm not able to see it.
There's a couple theories that I would, when it comes to that. With a lot of the posters, because this isn't... The posters don't have Luke in it at all. Just at all. And one of my main theories on this is that Kylo Ren is actually like a fallen apprentice that Luke trained.
What day is that coming out?
It's the 18th, but they're having a pre-showing the 17th.
Here's my prediction. Not about the movie. The plot, because we're not going to talk about that around him, because he doesn't want to hear it.
I gotcha.
Well, we don't know anything about that.
Well, he doesn't, I'm saying don't get him hyped or talking about it, because keep Frank's sentiments in mind.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I'm looking to see if there's any...
One, either the female character is going to be hailed as a feminist icon to rule the times, or two... They're going to put her in a backseat, and it's going to be anti-feminist, and why couldn't the woman be the hero? Why did the man have to be the hero, or something like that? It's going to be one of the two. It's a flip of the coin.
You're talking about, are you going for the Saturday showing?
And two.
Well, I was looking at the Moline Theater first.
Oh, okay.
Fans will...
Were you looking at Rave? is where you were looking?
Yeah. The tickets are on. I typed in Star Wars movie tickets and it pops up on like Fandango and shit.
Right.
The fans will hate it. I'm guaranteeing I'm making my money bet right now. They will hate it. There'll be a 24-hour cooling down period where they'll be like, another Star Wars movie. They'll be like, it sucked. I hate J.J. Abrams. He's so bad at everything. He ruined Star Trek. He ruined Star Wars. And he's going to ruin everything. My childhood is ruined. No.
And that's when I look back at those people and was like, you're going to say that George Lucas didn't destroy your childhood before?
Seven years ago, change was the motto of this country.
You know what would have been cool? Is imagine if they decided to do like an original trilogy showing leading up into.
They've done this is something in Cedar Rapids. They're showing all six movies in a marathon starting on the 16th at 3 a.m.
Oh, God, Frank's thinking. He's like, I might have to request 2 days.
That is our slower time of the year. I could probably get away with it.
That actually might be sold out because they're only committing one theater to it.
Yeah.
You watch one movie, there's like an hour break, another movie.
I thought about it and I was like, I can't burn 2 points to do this. I love Star Wars, but I'm going to be dead ass tired going into Friday morning at 8 a.m.
Do we care about 3D?
Fuck no. I got my tickets at the standard.
I care when they shot the movie in 3D.
Yeah, like Avatar.
And the Hobbit series.
Yes. Yeah.
Then I will pay the extra money for 3D. If it's a 3D conversion, I do not want to see it in 3D. Or Tron. Tron was also shot in 3D, and the 3D was amazing.
Yeah, it was really
good. The 3D was worth the money then, because I really felt immersed and the 3D was worth it. But if they converted it, I'm like, why am I watching this? This is $5 I'm never going to get back.
Because it looks like the early showings on the 17th are real 3D, ID, or IMAX 3D, and digital cinema.
The digital cinema is the standard one.
That's the DLP. Tickets.
Yes.
Yes.
My showing is 11:05.
Okay. And there are still tickets available for that?
Yep.
So we'd only need two of them. $10.
Yeah. If you want to come home early Friday, Thursday.
I don't think it would be too difficult. Well, that's Wednesday night into Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that Thursday into Friday?
That's Thursday into Friday.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Yes. It's the 18th is a Friday. And then they're showing at 11:05.
On the 17th.
On the 17th, right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And PM, we're sure.
Yeah.
11:05 PM.
Yep.
Yeah, it says Thursday, December 17th, 11:05 PM.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I think.
Because there was trying to be a law change that you could release media going into the Thursday of the week.
Well, most people, I think they were originally thinking about doing just a midnight showing. But now all of a sudden there's like four showings before.
The tickets released at 7 o'clock in the afternoon. The thing is that Cinemark specifically...
Okay, so they did change that law. Okay.
Right. Well, what I mean, you know, because the Thursday they were originally going to do like a midnight showing like they've done before, you know, that Friday morning midnight showing. But no, they're Thursday 7:35, 8, 10.
I don't know if Cinemark has a specific agreement with them.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 different showings starting Thursday.
There's laws on which day you can release media.
Okay.
I believe...
I don't think there are laws.
Video game,
I think there
are. No, there are. It's FCC mandated. I believe music and movies have to come out on Tuesdays. That's why all the midnight releases are early in the week for Halo and all that shit.
Yeah.
And then movies and projection media, I believe, were mandated to come out on Thursdays and Fridays. That's why it just became industry standard because that's when everybody had the day off. But I'm pretty sure
I don't think they're necessarily... laws, I think they've just become conventions that movies are released on Fridays.
I thought the FCC regulated because you'll see all those dates, the release dates line up.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's just more of movies come out on Fridays, new records come out on Tuesdays. You know, that's just the way they've always done it.
I think the Tuesday release date is because of shipping.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's why they just picked.
Never mind.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I've never heard of any sort of. Yeah.
Well, I said it was mandated, so I am wrong.
Yeah, I don't think it's mandated. I think it's just become, just the way they do it.
Yeah.
You know, like what would you call it?
It's just a
convention.
Standard. Yeah, it's a convention. Yeah.
Right. It's just the movie.
It's a standardization.
The movie industry just came out and said, "All right." Friday is the day we release the movie.
It made more sense because they would have more people on Friday when they get off of work and the weekend. Yeah.
Opening weekend starts on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. Everybody wants to see that particular movie. Okay. They can see it Thursday night.
Yeah.
Midnight showing.
Which I think that they started relaxing their rate.
And then they come out and they said, we're releasing this movie on Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday.
They've done that.
Wednesday was the other one when, like, holiday weekends, like Christmas and shit like that.
Right, but that was rare and few and far between that they did Wednesday releases.
It depended on whether or not the holiday was if it was on a Thursday, we would release it on the Wednesday or shit like that.
Right.
But yeah.
Oh, but yeah, there's tickets of it. So maybe I'll just call my boss and say, boss, can I have Friday off so I get home Thursday night? Because I rarely ask for time off. And that is getting into our slow season there right around Christmas. Well, I might be able to swing that.
I already have a crew of people going.
Oh, you mean I have to hang out with your friends? Well, fuck that. We'll go Saturday, Pete.
I guess
we can. I'm also going with his. I'm part of that crew, you piece of crap.
Yeah. Because I think Cooter and Gandhi and all of them already have their tickets.
Yeah.
I think Cody bought them for him.
So that crew that you kind of want to go over and play D&D with, you might actually have a chance to meet them.
Right. Yeah.
No, we only talked about that because Mary was out of town that weekend. I'm like, well, fuck, Mary's out of town. I guess I'll go over playing D&D. But anyway, yeah. So, but I've been intentionally avoiding specifically Star Wars related information.
You're
news.
Not the only person that I know that does that. Me personally,
I don't want to have any kind of preconceived notion because I fell for that for episode one.
I've watched the trailers and that's about it. I've not done any reading on it.
The one trailer, the first one where they come out with the freaking claymore sword.
Not a lot has changed in the trailers. They just had a lot more voiceover in it and a couple more new shots, panning shots. Darth Vader's burned helmet. Woo!
But I mean, regardless of the trailers, I've been avoiding even people talking about it on Facebook.
That's what I mean.
All of it. I don't know. I don't want to have any kind of. I've read the books. I've read a lot of the expanded universe book. Yep. So I have I already have what I think would be a great story going into it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's the way they go or not.
They threw all that shit out.
I know they threw all that shit out. Just because they say they threw all that shit out.
Right. That's my thought process, which is just because they threw it out doesn't mean they can't use it.
Because if they came out and they said, we're going to do Thrawn, and then fucked it up.
Right, yeah, exactly.
There'd be a lot of people that read the Thrawn series going, it's not how it went.
Which is why I'm actually completely okay with J.J. Abrams saying that shit didn't fucking happen. Mm-hmm. It's not fucking canon. It's not what I'm going to be basing this on. Because it allows him a lot more wiggle room. It allows him a lot more.
Because what assumptions can you make based on the six movies that are canon? We don't know for sure that the Empire died at the end of Return of the Jedi. All we know is that the Emperor...
I'm going to ask you this one time.
No, the Empire.
Right.
We know that the Emperor died. We know that Vader died.
Yes.
We don't know that the system of government that they created died.
Right. No.
Of course, we don't know how far in the future that they're telling this story.
It's roughly about the same amount of time between episode 6 and now. So it's like 35-ish years.
Right. But is the system of government, has it gone back to old Republic ways, or we don't know?
Well,
you know,
the thing
that
is,
kind of thing. We can't. There's not a lot of assumptions that you can make based off of what is considered canon at this point.
Well,
because even if it is, you know, they're going to have to try to fill in some of the lead in, I guess. You know,
right?
Like some kind of, I don't know, flashbacky thing or extra long scroll at the beginning. I don't know what the, you know, they're going to have to do something saying in the last 35 years, the Empire has dwindled and there's still pockets of resistance or whatever, you know, because
the
you know.
Easiest way to from the things that I have read. And that's why,
or is this going to be a political thriller? Because the original Star Wars 3 was more of a political action. Well, all of them were, really. It was more about the politics than anything.
And the first six. And space wizards.
In space wizards. But really, I mean, when you boil it down to everything, it was about politics.
Right.
It was about the system of government and the people fighting either for it or against it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how they're going to go with the next three, too? Trying to reform the old republic? And then you've got Luke also trying to maybe restart the academy. Do we know? Or is the academy already in full swing?
Based upon what I have seen in the trailers.
Again, I don't want to know. This is
throwing... That's what I'm saying. You keep asking these questions.
Just because I asked the question doesn't mean I want to know.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm just saying these are questions that I have in my head. You know,
he wants to see it. He doesn't want to be told it.
I got you.
Right. These are just questions that I have. Just going.
I have the same questions.
You know, going off of what's canon. How could they do it? I like thinking about it in my head.
Yeah.
I don't want to have other people's impressions, thoughts, and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I got you.
How would I have gone with the story 35 years after Return of the Jedi?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Luke's got to restart the academy at some point.
Unless there is some sort of major event.
I said at some point.
What I'm saying is if Luke is in exile, either self-imposed or... by whatever governing body exists, because basically it's kind of hard.
They're not going to let the Jedi Order die with Luke, is what
I'm
saying.
No, right.
Even if he doesn't restart the academy, he's going to pick up a few people that he's going to teach along the way or something like that, you know.
Right, which is actually kind of one of my theories on this, is that some of the characters that are in this...
I mean, even if there's not a full-born, like, building, boom, this is the Jedi Academy.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Yeah. My actual thought process on this is that Kylo Ren actually is one of Luke's, like, very first apprentices that he trained, and he... did some, like, he fell. Like, Kylo fell on the dark side and then just, like, blew up something. And, like, whatever governing body just said, Luke, this is your fucking problem. This is your fault. You did this. Why don't you fucking leave?
Right, but whether that's the way the story's going to go or not.
Yeah, it's all speculation theory on my part.
Right. I mean, is it primarily going to be... I mean, they could conceivably go with a like end of season Ice Road Truckers thing where they've got Luke, Leia, and Han sitting around a table talking about the last 35 years and recreating, you know, talking about the good old days.
Yeah. That's possible.
You know, and just basically using the first movie to, you know, let them tell you what's happened in the meantime. They could do that.
That's possible as well.
I don't know, you know. Because, I mean, they're going to have to fill in the gap somehow.
Yes.
They can't just jump 35 years in the future and expect you to, boom. You know, they're going to have some kind of, somehow fill in that 35 years.
That scroll is going to
go a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
But I mean, really, I think really the first half of the movie is going to be a whole lot of how did we get here?
Which I'm cool with. I fucking want to see that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
It's not what J.J. Abrams does. He puts the plot backstory in a single character's backstory.
When
we find out who Kylo Ren is, where he came from, we'll find out what happened in the last 35 years.
Which would be fine.
But that's not going to happen right away. He doesn't do it that way.
Yeah, it's going
to
be...
You're going to have to do it in that first movie.
No, he's, in the first
remember,
movie,
remember
but
Star
it's
Trek.
Be in the third act.
Remember Star Trek. He set up what Kirk was. He set up what Spock was. Then skipped to where they met.
Right.
And let them, their dialogue and the way they acted, portray who they were and how they grew up.
Right. And that's what I was talking about. Like I said, somehow they're going to have to fill in that gap.
And it's going
to
be
they're going to have to fill in that gap.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fucking big gap. But how they do it, it's not going to be the first 35 minutes is somebody saying, long ago.
Yeah, no, that's not the way he...
Like I said, I could just picture, could you imagine this? If they just had Luke, Chewie, Han and Leia. I mean, just imagine this. It'd be funny as hell. Just the four of them sitting in the Mos Eisley cantina.
I agree that would be entertaining, but that's not how...
I know that's not how they're going to do it.
He's not going to do it anyway.
I know that's not... I know that. I know, but it would be funny as hell just to have them at their age now just... talking about the good old days and just flashback. Hey,
this, I believe it's going to be Star Wars Episode 7, The Search for Luke.
Speaking of Luke, though.
You don't think that's the way they're going to do it?
Pete knows this.
That's fucking stupid. Because he's done this before. What did he do with Spock in both movies? Halfway through the movie, the old guy appeared. You got to go off J.J. Abrams' patterns.
That's
even in
true,
his shows
yeah.
and movies,
yeah.
halfway through the show of
Luke
Alias or whatever,
up.
They'll figure out where he is and find him. It's not, we'll find him at the end, there's our cliff. Nope,
yeah,
nope,
no,
nope, nope,
no,
nope.
What'll
you
happen
don't
is,
book a guy for
no.
5 months of shooting right. for 6 minutes of screen
no,
time.
Yeah, no, what'll
you
happen.
Don't do that.
Oh, I know. I agree.
Actually, no, you know what it'll be? The whole movie will be Luke on Dagobah. Communing with Yoda and Ben.
That there's a limited.
That is more plausible
yeah.
than anything else we've discussed.
Yes, I actually kind of imagine that's where he's either going.
Maybe
to
that's
be,
how it starts.
He's either no,
but
they're
we
not
know,
gonna start
we
that
know
day.
He's on a snow planet.
No,
though.
I mean
it's
no,
not
because we were talking about there. Maybe that's where it starts. They start there.
They're not. That's not where they.
Then
start.
They no. They, what I mean is that's where they start the movie. They start there.
I know what you mean. We're saying
and then
they're
they
not
go,
that
and then
stupid.
They go
that's going to be the worst movie ever made. You start on Luke talking to ghosts.
Yeah. Woo. No, they start there. They go back a little bit and to show you how he got back there talking to them again.
Nope.
You know,
he's that's not going to Tarantino it either, man.
Nope.
That'd be cool.
That's not bad. Me personally, I think what we're going to start at is going to be we're going to start on a battle.
He's right.
Well, they always start on a battle.
But who's in the battle?
They started every fucking movie.
I haven't
movie.
Even read this.
They
I know it.
Every,
I constructed it in my head from
they
the
started
trailer.
Every fucking movie. Episode 4, they started with the battle to get Leia off the ship.
Yeah.
Episode 5, they started with Hoth. Episode 6.
Go ahead.
That's when they went to Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 1, the negotiations.
Yeah. Episode 2.
That's not really... I'm not counting that. That's why Episode 1 started to fail immediately. It didn't open with a battle. It opened with two guys in a ship running away and meeting
yeah.
Jar Jar. That's where you started to fuck up.
I actually believe that it's going to be Finn in...
And Episode 2 started with an explosion, not a battle. Episode 2 started with fucking bombing Padme's ship. Then they call in the Jedi.
Episode 3 is where we finally
Episode
get-
3 is where we go back to the formula, but then after the first 15 minutes of that quiet-ass, no-action space battle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where there's just two dudes in a ship going, get these droids off me, now get them off me,
You can tell I'm a lot more familiar
the
with
clone,
the originals than the...
Where's the clone troopers fucking blowing up ships and shit? There's got to be 600 ships each side up here in the sky, and nobody's blowing anything up.
Yeah.
There's a couple shots of, like, a clone trooper's gun, like, firing, and then the droids exploding. But, like, it's just a bunch of ships shooting at each other. Nothing's happening.
But at least there was a battle.
If you can call it that.
If you can call it that.
We're going to shoot lasers at each other for 15 minutes exactly. Then we're going to ignore this one ship that they're on.
Of course.
Until we need to blow it up to drive the plot forward.
Yeah, to get them and that's back why, on that's Coruscant.
That's why Starship Troopers worked. They started with the battle, and then they spent the next 45 minutes talking about how they built up into
that. In that formula, it works.
Yeah.
Because they set it up scary enough, and also they didn't show you 5 minutes of the main character. You got to see his face for not even five seconds of that video, and you're like, wait, who are those people? Let's show you who those people were.
Because we
know who Luke is, so when we see Luke, our attention is going to be focused on Luke. They try to backtrack, like, no, I want to go forward. That's how Star Wars movies go. You go forward in the movie. Yeah. You don't go back.
Yeah.
That's going to be fans bitching about it.
I think they're going to start with it's going to be the battle that Finn ends up on Jakku. That's where they're going to start. That's the planet that the sand planet.
Fine. Okay.
They're
going to start with that battle. They kind of made that clear, though.
You're assuming that regardless of what they said about the expanded universe, you think they're going to pick and choose from it?
No, that's the name of the planet that they've already announced. That's the name of the planet.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're a silly goose. You're a silly, silly, silly goosey. The battle is them chasing the Millennium Falcon because Han and Leia are leading a resistance movement.
Which assumes
that's what Leia does, and Han is a rogue. That's what Han does.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they're running, and that's where you get all the action shots of the Millennium Falcon. Then they figure out where to hide on the planet, because that's what Han does. He runs away, and he shot first. No, he doesn't. He fucking hides on the ship and tricks everybody.
Then if you go with that, you have to be under the assumption, possibly, that either the Empire didn't die at the end of Return of the Jedi,
Not even the lore, the structure of the Empire in the movies was not everything goes through the Emperor. The Emperor had governors. The military power resided with Darth Vader and the admirals. But then you had governors, moffs, grand moffs, and everything else governing sectors. So when the Emperor dies, their reaction is, I must hold on to my power.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
and that's what I would assume.
It's
got
to be the Imperial fucking remnant.
So having someone to come in and command that with the power of a Sith Lord.
Right. But
it was a power vacuum and another Sith.
And the reason why I say that and the reason why you have to dump the expanded universe is the expanded universe went under the assumption that when the second Death Star blew up, the Empire just disintegrated.
It's actually not true.
That's what it's going to... Didn't disintegrate?
It didn't disintegrate. The
second Death Star did not disintegrate.
Oh, no, it did. But
No. What I'm saying is that when it blew up,
the Empire
pretty much disintegrated and the Rebellion reformed the New Republic.
Well, yeah, that's the happy ending we always wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. And but, I mean, that's what the Expanded Universe did is, you know, the Empire took a little while.
Yeah, using Vong Invasion to clean the Empire up, but yeah, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're leading in resistance. And that's going to be the first discussion is we thought when the second Death Star was done that our fighting was over. But while trying to clean out the Empire, Kylo Ren came out of nowhere. But he didn't come out of nowhere because he was somebody Vader had found that actually – this is my prediction.
Yeah.
Just going off of trailers, I haven't read any fucking material. Vader found this kid. He had him as an apprentice. But then after Vader dies, Luke picks him up, starts to try and train him. But since he already was kind of indoctrinated a little bit in the Sith life, he realizes that Darth Vader's vision of order across the galaxy is much better than the Jedi's vision of complete and total freedom and love and peace and hippie sex.
Yeah.
So he decides to take over the Empire and fulfill Vader's vision.
Yep.
His words, exactly. I will complete what you have started. Yep. I didn't laugh, but I did. Anyway.
That's exactly.
So he's chasing down Han and Leia. They fucking land on the desert planet. They're hiding there. They send in fucking stormtroopers. But for some reason, what's-his-face's ship crashed. I don't care if somebody blew it up. I don't care if it had a malfunction. I don't care. It crashes. Now he's stranded on the desert planet. He finds other female Jedi person there. And then they go try to find... you know, a way out or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We need to get you off this planet. We need to get you somewhere safe.
And then R2-D2 opens the door to the trash compactor at the last second and everybody's okay.
Yeah.
There's the start of the movie, everybody. And then once they get on the Millennium Falcon and they get away from the bad ships and they think they might want to go find Luke and figure out what they need to do next because they just lost a giant space battle and they're really decimated and they need that. She needs her brother's help. Yeah. That's when they have a brief dialogue exchange where they don't really explain a ton, but they do explain that the Empire did not completely collapse after the death of the Emperor.
Help me, General Skywalker. You're my only hope.
Yeah.
And that Kylo Ren seemed to come out of nowhere, because that's where things come from in J.J. Abrams' series. They come out of nowhere and do things. Alias, Lost, all the shit he's been involved with, things just appear and aren't explained.
Yes.
Well, and a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to look at Star Trek and wonder if Abrams is going to do that the same way, and he can't. Because Star Trek was a reboot. They were starting with the characters, but they were rebooting the entire thing. This, he has a canon to go from. Yeah. He had a canon to go from on Star Trek.
This is the most important reason.
But it was more of a character canon. That, you know, Kirk had to act a certain way. Spock had to act a certain way.
Yep.
But where he went with the story.
This is the most important reason they killed that lore. That we all read is because the Empire was extremely fragmented, didn't communicate with each other, and were eventually drummed out.
Yeah.
That lore had to be killed for this movie to work.
Because I'm assuming...
Ta-da! Logic.
You know, because like Pete was talking about there, you know, the Empire had a chain of command.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a Grand Moff somewhere that's going to go, oh, the Emperor's dead? I'm in charge now.
The Empire was rich. It had economic control. It had military control. Yeah.
Rome didn't die when the entire Caesar fleet was killed.
It split numerous times into various countries, the and entire, then boom, it's gone.
The entire Imperial fleet was not at the Battle of Endor.
A decent portion of it was,
but not the entire fleet.
But imagine if all those, after all those mad Caesars, the mad emperors of Rome, walks in Alexander the Great, reborn, and takes over.
And the thing, and plus you gotta remember too, the entire imperial bureaucracy that was running the whole thing is still on Coruscant.
Yep.
They weren't touched by the Battle of Endor.
Yeah. You killed Caesar. Caesar's bureaucracy and everything else was there.
The first thing he did in A New Hope was kill the Senate. So there was very little diplomatic bureaucracy. It was organizational bureaucracy.
Yep. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And those people would want to hold on to their fucking power.
Exactly.
That's why they killed that lore of Coruscant being chaotic and the Republic just swooped in to save.
Yep.
They killed that lore for a fucking reason.
Exactly. The everyday functioning of the government is back on Coruscant, still operating.
Yeah.
It would be just like if you took out the president and the Senate majority leader.
I totally agree with you.
The functionality of the government is still in place after the Battle of Endor. It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I absolutely agree with you that the Empire did not die. It hurt them a lot because there was a power vacuum, and
then the
fucking Empire turned on itself for a while.
They also had to kill the lore about Luke wanting to rebuild the Academy.
Yeah.
You're both wrong. He's not going to try to rebuild the Academy.
No, I know.
They've set this movie up that after his father died, and he was technically the one that caused his death, he's super depressed and he's in hiding.
Yes. Yeah,
and because killing the Emperor and his father didn't change anything, he's depressed and he's hiding in exile.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, though,
because Jedi hunters are still out there.
Because, well, that I get, but Luke didn't kill the Emperor or his father.
I know he didn't, but he caused his father's death. Right. By getting his father to turn good again, he caused his dad to die.
Yeah.
It's that, I drew the good out of my dad, and it killed him. Fuck.
Of course, then again, too, if Luke is in hiding for 35 years, you assume that he's doing the communing thing with Ben and Yoda.
Yeah.
And his dad's probably there, too, saying it wasn't your fault.
But it's still going to take him a while to come to fucking grips with it.
But if he takes any action, he ultimately causes something wrong.
Yeah,
actually, he's probably concerned that he could turn into another version of Vader.
Yeah, and his only option is to remove himself.
Maybe Anakin and Obi-Wan have convinced him that the Jedi and Sith constantly waging wars in the galaxy. Anakin brings balance to the Force. Is what's wrong with the galaxy, so Luke refuses to do it.
Yeah. Right, but at that point in the movie canon, Luke is the very last trained Force user.
Yes.
Yes, now that we've killed off all the other lore, yes.
So technically there is balance in the Force.
Right, yeah.
Because there's only one guy.
And if he's in hiding, yeah, he might have had that realization or help from his dad and Obi-Wan that Jedi and Sith constantly fighting across the galaxy isn't true order.
Yeah. Right.
Or even just Jedi helping to rule the galaxy doesn't give people any free... Whatever realization happens, mm-hmm. Luke is not rebuilding an academy. That's why he's in exile. Whether it was something to do with Kylo Ren, maybe he tried once and then realized he fucked up everything.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an army of Jedi.
Yeah, no, I realize that they are gonna bring that. These, do not
they're going to bring these two Force sensitives to him, and he realizes that there are good people in the galaxy, and he needs to save them, and he needs to train them, and then he's going to start training them, and they're going to be Jedi, and they're going to fight Kylo Ren. Happy ending.
And he becomes a character more along the lines of like Obi-Wan. Right. Yeah, I'm completely down with that. You cannot
have the Grand Master appear in the first 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
You can't.
No,
yeah.
I absolutely
you can't have him
that.
Walk in the last 10 and save the day. That's also boring. You need to have him somewhere in the middle to start leading.
Yes.
Or guiding.
Yeah. Guiding more than, leading. Yeah. Because Obi-Wan never led. He guided.
Yeah. He's a teacher.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Luke will be.
Even Yoda didn't. Well, Yoda in the original three,
yeah,
didn't lead Luke. He trained him,
yeah.
Or any of other J.J. Abrams man characters that lead or guide, like on Heroes and Lost and and Spock in the new Star Trek. Mm-hmm. He showed up to guide, but he didn't directly interfere. Right. Maybe Luke sacrifices himself for something. I don't know. That's a haymaker, but it's out there. But
I don't think
Luke's... Speaking of Luke, though, and I'm going to kind of 180, but not. Pete knows that I binge watched the entire series or season of Flash.
There we go.
Oh, you saw him as Trickster.
Yeah.
See, because I remember the 80s Flash.
Yeah.
I like how he just jumped right back into it.
I enjoyed it.
It's like watching the Joker, but I loved it.
That was Trickster. They're like, why don't we just rip off Joker?
The thing that I liked about the way that they brought him back in there is that they said, okay, we're not going to do this where, like, he's out again. No, we're going to call back to the original series and say, hey, that's the guy that we caught.
Yeah.
25 years ago.
And I also loved that it was like the silence in the lambs dichotomy of like, we're gonna go find this guy to figure the fuck out, and it's like it's so awesome, it's so fucking brilliant.
And I'm just about done with the first season of Arrow.
The reason I actually kind of liked the Trickster so much was he was like a really shitty Joker.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love the Joker, but the only way I can love the Trickster is realizing that he's just a shitty Joker.
Yeah. Right, but at least the Trickster...
It's like a Joker without any joke, because it's like, hey, I won't blow you up. I blew you up. I tricked you. Right. No, you didn't trick. You lied.
No. Actually, what I was thinking more with the Trickster is he's actually more like the Riddler, but without the Riddler...
Without riddles.
Yeah.
It's just one gimmick.
Because that was always was always
that's not a trick. Right. That's a lie.
Right. That was always the thing about the Riddler is that he's like, here's my plans, but it's my thing to kind of give the guy clues to
figure it out.
And the Trickster just basically said, no, I'm not going to let him know what's going on.
Yeah. That's why I loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah. So it was kind of like they crossed the Riddler and Joker.
And got rid of all the jokes and riddles.
Yeah. I loved it.
It was. I loved it. I that was probably my favorite episode of the series.
Yeah.
You see now why I told you to watch Arrow first, though. It's because it's setting up the fight. Even though it's not as fun to watch sometimes, it's...
Right. It is, but like I said, I'm still in the first season of it, so they really haven't gotten to the point where they're setting up the Flash yet.
Okay.
You know, because I think I'm in like
the first three episodes of season two, they introduce Barry Allen.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
Right. I'm at the part where...
But you watch the first season of Flash, you know that...
Right.
That Oliver's around.
Right. And I'm at the point in Arrow right now where I think I'm actually at But what's the name of the plane that they're doing there? The wrecking.
God damn it! First season of Arrow. Shit. It's the Fuck.
Anyway, I think I'm like on episode 21, so I think I'm like two from the end or something like that. But anyway,
it's something along the lines of like the reckoning. Actually, I think it is the reckoning.
It's not the reckoning. It's the. Nah,
it's another word for like plan,
intervention, or inter. Yeah.
The undertaking.
Undertaking. There we go. Yes.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I'm at the actual undertaking episode. You know, like I think I'm within three of the end of the first series.
Yep.
Where.
Yeah, he started season two of Flash. Yeah, he hasn't seen the fight.
He's just realized that his mother is part of this, is where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's right before they launch the undertaking. Right. Yeah. Like basically, Merlin is explaining it and about to launch it.
It's careful. You know, you're doing that thing where you're starting to lead into the spoilers.
Yeah, I know. It's just going to start pouring out of your tongue.
And it's like, shut up, Matt.
It's so hard for me because I'm like,
you didn't spoil anything with that. It's obvious, but yeah. The next few lines out of your mouth would spoil everything.
Yeah, exactly.
No, the season two fight though, when he finally starts watching Flash again.
That's the fucking best.
What can you do? I can do a lot. I got this motorcycle and things and. You're overconfident and.
Yeah, that was sweet. That was cool.
No,
he's seen the first season of Flash. He's seen
No, that wasn't the first season. Was it the first?
Yeah, it was the first season.
No, they haven't. On Netflix, they have.
Yeah.
On Netflix, there's one season.
He's already seen half of that, though.
So he did see the fight.
He saw half of it. Because it also branches into air, like it starts in Arrow and then goes into the Flash.
Right. Yeah.
No. The fight that he's talking about, it was a two-parter that jumped from Arrow into Flash. It was started in Flash.
No, it wasn't. Are you high? It was one episode of Flash. Okay, maybe Flash appeared in an episode of the Arrow on the same week.
Yes,
but it wasn't a lead-in.
Yes, it was.
Bullshit. Prove it. It was not a lead-in because they didn't introduce the villain that caused Barry Allen to go crazy until the episode of The Flash.
Wait, which one are you talking about that made Barry Allen go crazy?
The guy that made you rage by looking into your eyes?
Oh, yeah, where the colors saved him, the color pattern. Yeah.
And it was...
Yeah, that was in The Flash.
That was all in The Flash, completely contained. Again, if you find that Flash was in an episode of Arrow the same week... Not connected to the plot whatsoever, to the actual fight that occurred on The Flash. Right. That fight between Arrow and Flash occurred on The Flash.
Yes.
With the villain that appeared only in The Flash, not connected. So if Barry went and helped fucking Oliver with something in Star City.
Yes. That's exactly how that went.
Cool.
Yes.
Sterling City, you mean?
It's Star.
It's
Trust us, it's Star.
It's Star City.
You'll see.
Yeah.
Well, right now in the Arrow, they're calling it Sterling City.
Starling City.
Yeah. That's what I meant, yeah.
But helped them in Star City. And then also they call Oliver to help.
Yeah.
Yeah, two or three times.
In Central City, that episode.
Yes.
Not connected other than they both helped each other that week.
That's the only connection.
But
that
it
happened,
wasn't a lead-in to the fight. They weren't. Arguing on the Arrow. Yeah, the argument started in Central City and ended in Central City.
Because really they figured the Arrow was the only guy that could
investigate this.
Right. Well, that's because Barry's.
That was a cool ass fight though.
I think they showed up for something else to test something. Then Oliver helped them with the case initially, and he was still in town when Barry went crazy.
Oliver showed up twice in that first season.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. But the second time was when they had the fight. Yeah, the end fight with Zoom.
Right. The first time he showed up was actually where Barry went to go see him.
That's Reverse Flash.
When he first got his.
I'm sorry that they.
That's what they are calling him, though.
Yeah. But the character in the actual.
I know he's Reverse Flash, but look up Reverse Flash. There's 19 Reverse Flashes.
I know this.
It's any speedster that goes against Flash is called Reverse Flash. Yes. Scotch and whiskey, Matt. Scotch and whiskey.
I know this. This, but in their own that in that
Yobard Thawne was Professor Zoom.
Yes, I know.
So
this.
He is Zoom.
Yes.
But so why'd you say he wasn't Zoom?
Because that's what they said in the fucking TV show.
Well, in the show yet he's
you're
not
watching
Zoom yet,
season right. two. What are you saying? They said he wasn't Professor Zoom. They called him Professor Zoom. They called him Zoom.
Yes, in the second season. Yes,
they called him that in the first season too.
Where?
Where?
Like the last episode?
No.
No.
All right, fine. Yobard Thawne. If we're being technical.
Yes.
So he's not Zoom, and he's not Reverse Flash.
They actually did call him Reverse Flash.
Yeah. They said he was like a Reverse Flash. No, they didn't actually call him that.
Yeah, they did.
When?
What's his name? The geek kid.
Cisco.
Cisco called him Reverse Flash three or four times in the last couple episodes. Yeah.
I'll look it up later.
It's not that they're bringing... Never mind. I'm going to shut my mouth. Right. Because I'm going to have to jump into season two.
Yeah, I haven't even started season two. So I'm trying to...
I'm trying to
get caught up on
it. It's
Arrow.
Just really weird that in the second season they said something about Zoom and they immediately said we had a Zoom. If they didn't call him that in first season, Matt, never.
No. Not one time.
No.
Not
never.
Once.
Not that I ever remember.
Trust me.
Then we've either found the single continuity error that they've had within their own show.
Yeah.
Or you guys are remembering wrong. One of the two.
Yeah. I'm cool if I'm
remembering
Right. I would get that one of us, but I don't remember him ever calling him Zoom in the first season either.
Because I'm pretty sure he called himself Professor Zoom at one point.
No, but I am kind of curious how Barry Allen creates that computer program. That was something I didn't see coming.
Oh, that Barry. Well, that's the thing is that Barry.
I mean the way they're doing it in the TV show.
Yeah.
When they sneak in there and the thing says, "Well, you created me," and he's like, "I'm like, I was like, what? Where did that come
that's
from?"
That's fun about the Speed Force, guys.
I love this. Like the cool thing about the Speed Force is like it's one of the coolest fucking concepts that DC ever had.
Yeah, but they keep breaking it to make Superman strong. Why not? Yeah. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
So anyway, we talked about Star Wars.
We trapped Superman in the Speed Force.
This is
he
what
broke
happens.
Out. It's great. Wow. So now the Speed Force has a vulnerability. Fuck this, Superman.
This is what happens when we don't do show prep, everybody.
We fall back on what we know, which happens to be movies, comic books, video games,
war, religion.
Inside Out is on demand right now.
Ooh.
And I'm debating as soon as we're done with the show that we're going to go upstairs and watch it.
Ooh.
Because I have not seen it.
I have not seen this either.
My wife saw
it. I highly recommend it.
My wife saw it with the nieces, and they loved it. She loved it.
I watched it in a completely legal format, and I recommend it.
So I'm thinking when we're done.
Completely legal format.
So I'm thinking when we're done, maybe we'll go upstairs and watch that. Make some dinner, order some pizza or something, watch a movie.
And then I don't know if we have enough to feed everybody.
Well, Mary,
3 pounds of Chuck.
Mary's probably asleep, so we could probably figure something out.
Throw it on a pizza. Just had some the other day, but it's a good thing about Pizza Hut.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
All right, how much longer we got?
20 minutes.
Oh,
half hour.
I thought you
were
just zeroing us out.
Well, no, what I was thinking is, we'll go upstairs, we'll watch the movie, and then maybe come down and talk about it.
Oh, yeah, we can do a recording.
And do an overtime on that. But instead of doing 3 more hours of overtime, we'll just go upstairs, watch a movie, and then maybe do a...
This movie had a much better message than Up. Have you seen Up yet?
I have. I tried to.
Up, the first 10 minutes of that movie, they force you to kind of... You got misty, admit it. That was fucking
harsh. That's what I mean. I watched about the first 10 minutes of Up, and then I fell asleep because I was... it was one of those end of day type things. I'm like, oh, fuck it. I'll watch this.
This movie didn't have that really harshness in the emotional message, but it was a really good message at the end. And I was like, wow, it's not dark, but it's a very neutral stance for Pixar to take because it's normally all happy go lucky.
Right. But I like the idea of the competing emotions in the head.
Yep. The only thing that I didn't like was disgust. being both like the social and the food right. not liking thing.
And that was Lewis Black? Is that who played that one?
No, he plays Anger.
Anger, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Mandy Kaling from The Office, the Indian chick,
uh-huh.
plays Disgust. Okay. Because she does that, ew.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't, they're like, that keeps you safe. Disgust is what keeps you safe. I'm like, well, that would be fear more than anything, but what? Okay, whatever.
Well, no, Disgust, I could get that. Don't eat that. You know,
yeah, okay. I see their plausibility behind it. I would have liked.
Well, like, that's gross. Don't touch that. You know. I can see that.
A sixth emotion in that room would have actually probably added to the conjecture.
I don't know.
A
I haven't seen it yet. I know. Matt hasn't seen it yet. So what do you think, Matt? We'll go yeah. upstairs and we'll watch that yep. after we're done here, and then maybe
sounds
we'll come down and talk about it.
Sounds good to me.
Because, you know, Pete was talking about Up. I haven't seen Up. I tried to watch it.
Oh, I thought you did say it. Oh.
No, I tried to watch it, and I fell asleep, I think, after the first little bit. I don't remember anything after pretty much the kid meets the old guy.
It was a cute movie yeah. for most of it. And, like, at the end, the dog.
I know
Squirrel!
That. Right. I mean, I know the
My
idea.
Name is Buddy, and I love you. The Labrador that comes up. My name is Buddy, and I love you.
Right. And I mean, I know the idea of Up. I've heard about it.
Or
I just
was it
haven't
Buddy or
watched
Al
it.
Or something. I think it was, my name is Al, and I love you. Oh, boy. I sure can't wait to take you captive back to my master. He's going to be so happy I have you prisoner. Come on. Let's go. Well, <that's>, fucking Labradors, man.
Well, that's how a dog would act. You know?
Yeah.
Well, then they had the Dobermans in there, too, that were the actual really good guard dogs.
Right.
But one of them's speech box had malfunctioned, and the guy couldn't fix it. So he was, bring the prisoners forward. This mean, scowling Doberman, bring them forward.
Mowage.
There's just enough, like, yeah, it was Up was a cute movie, and then the first 15 minutes were soul-wrenching, tear-jerking abomination of movie, but... Why did you do this? This is a kid's movie. Kids should not be confronted with the aspect of death in the first 15 minutes of a movie. You had a very long, happy life together, and now you're alone. Great. Good setup.
Oh, here we go.
Wav.
Mallet. Marriage is what brings us together today. Wedding arrangement, that dream within a dream.
That's your crown,
man. That's your crown. So treasure your wife.
Skip to the end.
Have you the wing?
Here comes my Wesley now.
Under you, Princess Bahua.
Man and wife. Say man and wife.
Man and wife.
Escort the bride to the honeymoon suite.
I just... the thing that sets that up is the setup to it. Like I said, they come in like it's completely serious and then...
Big dramatic entrance.
Right.
And for the abbot and then... Marriage. You've seen The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie. That's whenever somebody goes back in from break at work, I'm like, have fun storming the castle. And everybody... The
have
people,
fun storming the castle.
The best part about that is the few people that actually get that reference, they're just like, ha! As they walk in.
Yeah.
We're
gathered here together again...
Why didn't you tell me he didn't take the money?
I like that. Again?
May I continue, please? Besides, he asked me not to tell you. Thank you. To join Princess Vespa and Princess Valium. I'm sorry, it's the hair. Prince Valium in the bonds of holy matrimony.
I see it all now. Don't you see he loves me?
Excuse me, I'm trying to conduct a wedding here, which has nothing to do with love. Please be quiet.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, be quiet.
I'm sorry.
To join Princess Vespa and Prince Valium in the bonds of holy...
Holy!
Oh! 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 Oh!
matrimony.
That's him. I know it's him. He's come back.
That's it. No more chances by doing a short version.
The short version.
Take Princess Vespa to be your lawful.
That's what I always love about this. Yeah. It goes from the short version to the short, short version.
Well, I suppose. Well, oh, I don't know.
No, she doesn't.
What? Isn't? I've always wondered about that. She said, I suppose. Isn't that a close enough?
I don't know.
Is it legally binding?
I think they'd have to have a
suppose.
She did say, I suppose.
Well, her dad's the king of the Druids. The Druids. So, by Druish law. Yeah.
Well, isn't that how pretty much all Druish people get married? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, might as well. You're not getting any younger.
Why not?
Hey.
No, they get married a different way. Darling, he's a doctor.
Who the hell are you?
He went to Harvard.
Prince?
Get the ring.
Found out. That's what this says. I'm an honest-to-God prince.
You see him in this, and then you see him in Independence Day, and you're like, wait a minute.
Well, let me think about it.
Yeah, Bill Paul. It's career win.
Yes.
I'm sick of this. I don't give a damn who it is, but I'm going to marry somebody today. Who are you?
I'm the best man.
What's your name?
Barf.
Your full name?
Bartholomew.
You're the one that's getting married?
No.
Then get over there. Okay.
Hello, John Candy.
A short, short version. Do you?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Good. You're married. Kiss her.
Boom.
They'll be space divorced in a year.
Spaceballs the flamethrower.
I
love that.
I love this movie.
This movie is so good.
I could watch this movie
on repeat.
That was my zombie. Day. That movie was for my zombie rant, and I fucking nailed it. And I don't even care.
You're what?
I hate branded restaurants, or not branded, not themed either. I hate pop culture themed restaurants. Zombie Burger in Des Moines, Iowa. I've seen so many people tag that fucking place. I looked at the menu. They're fucking burgers. Some of them have some abnormal toppings.
Yes, that's about it.
Some of them have some smoked ghost chilies on them, and it's the fire-breathing zombie burger. Why isn't it just the smoked ghost chili burger? Oh, Zombies sells burgers because people think zombies equal cool, because Walking Dead equal cool, or zombie movie, or Resident Evil. Like, so you went and ate there just because it had zombie on there. If I had a burger down the street that said smoked ghost chili burger that tasted exactly the same, would you have come and ate it?
If I was going to make a place called Zombie Burger, I'd take like cow brains and make them into...
And all they got in this fucking place, there's not even like it's not even set up like a laboratory or anything weird or cool.
No.
It's just some zombie paraphernalia on the wall. When I mean paraphernalia, I mean movie posters that zombies were in from everything from the 60s up until the 2000s. So it's even telling you the only source material for this exists in movies. The food, there's nothing special about the food. It's... There's like the I was expecting was like maybe one of the burgers has like this weird like tomatillo based ketchup and they call it the zombie slime burger. Like that'd be kind of cool, I guess. Nope.
That's
just some weird ingredients with zombie themed names on them, like the brain burger. Is there any brains on it? No, but the bun is kind of lumpy. It looks like a brain. That's fucking stupid. Who paid $20 for that burger?
If you're
most
gonna
of
do
Des Moines. Makes sense. Fun. Okay.
If you're gonna do a theme restaurant, you do like they did in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, the 50s diner cafe thing?
Yeah.
That makes fucking sense.
Yeah. Or the place.
And guess what? The menu matched the theme because that's what they used to serve at restaurants like that back in the fucking 50s.
Could you imagine going to that restaurant?
That's a real restaurant.
Yes, I know. But Maid Rite was also kind of like that in Milan and the one in downtown Moline. They were themed around the 50s because it was made in the 50s. Go fucking figure.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, you know, this place went the extra mile with the character, with the people.
Oh, yeah.
Looking
Jack
like
Rabbit
this.
Slims is an actual fucking restaurant. Did they do all that?
And like if the waiters and waitresses of this place dressed up like zombies, but I think the waiters and waitresses have lab coats or something weird like that.
No, it's t-shirts.
Like one of them was in like a torn up straight jacket or something. Like that'd be really cool.
It's just t-shirts.
I thought like, oh, it's the manager or whatever has a lab coat. Somebody has a lab coat on.
Yeah. There's not much to this joint.
Oh, it's zombies. No, it's not.
There's not much to this joint. I went down there. Thank you. I appreciate it. I went there on our way back from Kansas City to see my brother.
But if you're going to make a theme restaurant out of a movie or a concept, what would it be?
Oh man. There's so many.
What?
That could actually get interesting because you could make like a multicolored menu and make it look weird and stuff.
Could you make a munchkin burger?
Yes. You do like, yeah.
That'd be for the kids, you know, the little burger. I guess it would be the munchkin
like
burger.
All the kids get like shooters. A multicolored lollipop.
Just the munchkin burger is like a selection of shooters, like sliders.
Yeah, you could do like food dye in the buns. You could really theme it to make it look like food that came out of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
That'd be that.
I don't know how much.
They didn't really attack the food too.
Yeah, because really all they did with food, all the
Lollipop Guild is the most we know about their diet.
Right. No, I mean with Alice in Wonderland, pretty much all you got there is the dinner with the rabbit. You know, I'm late, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
I ran out of smokes.
Oh yeah, mushrooms and the little candies in Alice in Wonderland. I was confusing that with Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. I guess you could make the Poppy Burger. If you can figure out a way to add LSD to a burger. And well, that was the one from last week, baby. Any chance you feel like walking across the street? No? All right. All right. I'll forget it then. What would you do a theme off of, though? Because
a lot of themes have been done, but this was, it's not, I've seen pictures of the inside. I haven't been there. It's not really themed.
I have been. It's not, it's memorabilia.
Right.
That's it.
But, I mean, if you were going to try to do something like that, what would you do? I mean, how would you do a themed restaurant off of Nightmare Before Christmas? Tink is down here, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. She just doesn't want to go anywhere near her mic.
Is it even on?
Well, it can be if she goes and talks into it. But how would you do a themed restaurant around the Nightmare Before Christmas?
Be a lot of candy.
I know. But how would you do a restaurant out of that? Is there a movie you could do a themed restaurant around and actually make it legitimate?
Batman wouldn't be a terrible one because you could set up the inside of it like the Batcave.
I would actually do Hook.
Hook's also really good,
because all that fake food on that table and the imagination food fight, I'd want to make it and serve it.
I'm not on.
Yeah, you are.
I don't hear myself.
We can hear you.
We can hear you
just fine.
Yeah, I'd do Hook and do that pretend menu and even do like a pirate menu in it.
Yeah,
too. It can be half, the restaurant can be split down the middle, half of it pirate stuff and the other half like jungle theme for the Lost Boys.
Yeah, I could do that.
I could see that.
You could do Fantasia.
You're talking about the Disney musical where it's all.
Well, what we're kind of attacking is the fact that this place is called Zombie Burger.
Oh, Zombie Burger?
But there's nothing zombie on the menu. It's not like you have to eat zombies or eat the same food as zombies, but all they did was take the same menu from Red Robin.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And put zombie-ish names on it. Like a spicy burger is the fire-breathing zombie burger. Okay, what's unique about it? I could have got this down the street for almost half the price.
I know a movie we could make a themed restaurant off of.
Hmm.
9.5 weeks.
I haven't seen it.
You could do one off of Fatal Attraction.
I think 9.5 weeks with the
like you could make a restaurant with a lot of like memorabilia from movies.
Right, because we're talking about the best themed restaurant we've ever seen in a movie that actually exists. Is from Pulp Fiction, Jackrabbit Slims, with the 50s Cadillacs and the $5 milkshakes and all that kind of stuff.
I like the...
Damn, that's a really good milkshake.
I don't know if it's worth $5, but that's a... Right. But that place would be cool as fuck to go see.
Perfect.
You're right. But a themed restaurant based off of a movie or a time period or something like that.
Oh, time period
is different.
If you want to go time period.
Time period.
Because Jackrabbit Slims is basically
We could do a lot. We could do like an actual like ancient Mediterranean restaurant with like fresh fish
but what I'm talking about is Jackrabbit Slims basically just took like the 50s pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
That's perfect. It, you know, yeah, you can nail any decade with that.
With some movie characters and pop culture icons. Exactly. But yeah.
That's the easiest one. That's the easiest.
And the 50s really made the most sense because the 50s, a lot of the movies in the 50s were based out of or around diners and
right.
But, fountain, you know, stuff like that. You know, even Porky's, you know, they went to the drive-in, you know. Yeah.
But then you could even do the 70s and the 80s movies, too.
That doesn't change the food a whole lot.
Right, though. But that's what we're trying to figure out. It's basing a themed restaurant around some kind of movie concept or something like that. Like
or time about, period, but it also the food makes sense with what you're serving.
Right.
Because...
Because he was talking
having
about
a zombie-themed restaurant, I have no problem with you decorating it with zombies and calling it zombie, but overcharging for your burgers and just naming your burgers zombie things when there's nothing unique about the burger. Imagine taking the monster burger, going to Hardee's, getting the monster burger, going into the restaurant, going into the back room, putting on a plate, and charging $20 for it. That's what this fucking place does.
Is that a dead rat on that chair?
Yes.
A real
I'm
one?
I'm saving it to eat it.
Is it a real one?
Yeah, you want to see?
No, we were talking about because Inside Out is on demand right now. So as soon as we're really done with the movie. Show right now, I know.
You guys are going to watch it.
And we're going to go upstairs and watch it as soon as we're done with the show and then come down and talk about it.
Oh.
So I figured you might want
I've actually eaten a zombie burger. I was not... Besides the decor, I was like, this, it would be basically like, they could have called it Zombie Burger, and I was actually expecting what you were talking about.
But
like,
could you
fucking
really do
like, the fucking burgers were like something spectacular. And I was like, no, it's just a fucking bar.
I could get Zombie Burger if, say, you were going to make spaghetti.
Yeah, that was the type of shit that I was expecting. It's shit like that. Like a zombie-themed restaurant where the
food
tied
in. And make it look like entrails or some shit like that.
Where the fucking food tied in with that shit, and I got a fucking burger that looked like a burger. And I was like,
I would even like make gray fries, which is doable.
Yeah.
Because it looks weird and abnormal, and it's unique, and that's what you're paying for. That's the extra money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you take spaghetti. You take spaghetti and you put red sauce on it instead of orange sauce, and it looks like entrails.
Yeah.
The only restaurant that...
We're actually trying to think of one that we could do.
You could do. The only themed restaurant that I've been to that does describe a theme, Jimmy Buffett's got his cheeseburgers in Paradise.
Well, yeah, he based that off a song.
And it does
Well, he
go,
wrote it, so I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
That's like having, well, actually, that's like well, having what she's a talking restaurant about is named we Margaritaville,
were,
you know?
Well, when we were in...
There's nothing
in,
wrong with that either.
No, well, I know.
Right, well, you see, that's the thing. When we were in Vegas on the Strip, they actually had the Margaritaville.
Now, you want to talk... I was actually going to jump into this. There's a great one called the Heart Attack Cafe down in Vegas. That's a great concept for a fucking restaurant right there.
Oh, yeah.
The Heart Attack Grill, yeah.
Yeah, the Heart Attack Grill.
Yeah, see, yeah.
Perfect.
Technically, even Olive Garden is a themed restaurant. Their theme is, it might be crappy food to some, but it's Italian themed.
It's Taco Bell for Italians.
Right. But I'm actually talking about like more of a theme based off of...
You could go horror.
Something
you can do,
other
you,
than food. You know, I mean, Olive Garden is a themed restaurant for Italian food. But, you know, like the Heart Attack Grill is, okay, we're going to give you burgers that will kill you.
Yeah, will kill you. And the whole concept around that is this is a restaurant that is designed to fuck you up.
Right.
You're going to have the meat sweats
you
when
you walk
out of it.
Right. Yeah, you walk in there and they call you a patient. They don't. They're actually walking.
No, but the cheeseburger.
At the Bevick's up in fucking Chicago,
which
is unfortunately closed. It pissed me off. I didn't get a chance to go to Ed DeBevick's before they closed. But the whole concept of this restaurant is where you treated like complete dog
It's a wise guy bar.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of wise guys serving you. I heard. I was actually going to talk about it. That's another good theme.
Yeah.
But no, the Cheeseburgers in Paradise, I've actually been there. And
the Heart Attack Girl has a vegan menu.
What? Fuck that. That's stupid.
You know what their vegan menu consists of?
Nothing.
Cigarettes.
See, I love it. I fucking love this joint. If I'm ever in Vegas, I'm going to fucking eat there. I love it. It's a great restaurant.
The half-pound coronary dog.
Yep.
Which is a half-pound burger
milkshakes.
Covered in chili and bacon.
What's this place? Every time I hear about this or I think about
Flatliner fries.
Yep.
Deep-fried in pure lard.
Yep.
Not that mixed up lard, pure lard. It's actually not that bad for you.
The single bypass burger, the double bypass burger, the triple bypass burger, which you can add 15 bacon slices to, by the way, for $2.78. Quadruple bypass burger, the sextuple and the octuple.
That's a burger with eight patties, everybody. I believe it's cheese in between.
They have prescription alcohol, by the way. They'll bring you Jello shots in a syringe, or they'll bring you a bag full of wine with
the bag of wine. I love this joint.
The blood bag of wine.
The blood bag of wine.
I love this fucking joint.
And hot ass waitresses in skimpy outfits that wheelchair you to the door when you're done with your meal.
They'll
bring you shots in pill bottles.
Yep.
I love this. Like every time I hear about this, I'm like, I need to go to Vegas.
And we need to send Kelson out here because here's why. Over 350 pounds, eat free.
He'd die. He would die.
Must weigh with a nurse before each burger. Weighing after.
You can't niche out that 7 ounces, can you?
No. Hold on. Must weigh before each burger. Weighing afterwards will not earn free burgers. One single bypass and fries at a time. Weigh in between each burger. Unlimited. No sharing. No to-go contest. Must purchase beverage. So basically, as long as you keep eating, you're free. And then it says, if you do not finish your meal, your nurse will administer spankings.
Yes. They actually do. I've seen the videos.
This is an excellent themed restaurant.
Yes, exactly.
They took it and they ran with it.
It's everything right and wrong with a restaurant at the same time.
You still have to go to the Tilted Kilt.
Yeah, but that's not really a themed restaurant.
The Tilted Kilt, I've been there. It is basically
Hooters with short skirts.
Hooters that is set in Western Europe with short skirts. That's it.
But I mean, they took
not
a
even
theme.
Western Europe, fucking yeah. London. It's yeah. wood and glass, yeah. and
it's like a pub. It's
really cool. The right. food's better though.
Yeah, I bet. But
it's
hard to get worse than Hooters.
Yeah, I've been there. I was not impressed with it because I'm not. They're selling the same thing to me that they're doing at Hooters, which is tits and ass, and it's like. I appreciate it. I went there with Piero, actually. It was me, Piero, and...
Yep.
Which one did you go to?
Here's
the one. Whichever one's in Chicago.
He doesn't know
which
part.
Downtown?
No, it was in one of the burbs.
Did you go to the one off of 88?
I don't remember. It was a few years ago.
Here we go. Here's their over 350 eat-free diet. Doctors agree that continually cycling body weight up and down is one of the very worst things a person can do to themselves. That's why our program is focused upon keeping your weight in an extremely stable, gradual, and consistent upward slope. See, it's affordable, too. He says, while other diet centers continue to charge exorbitant fees, the Heart Attack Grill program is focused upon remaining affordable, always keeping the patient's budget in mind. You'll have the comfort of knowing that all your meals are absolutely free once you achieve the 350-pound goal weight. Imagine the joy of knowing you finally achieved something.
I love this joint.
We understand that nothing can be more depressing than failing to follow through with a new diet. That's why we prescribe great-tasting, high-calorie meals, including the double bypass burger, flatliner fries, full-sugar Coke, butterfat shake, and no-filter cigarettes. University studies have proven that diets which include these types of food are much more likely to become a lifelong habit. Of course, then at the bottom of this says, disclaimer, government agencies and various politically correct busybodies insist that we state the American Medical Association has denied Dr. John the right to continue practicing medicine in the United States. His nurses are not certified by the state of Nevada.
I love this joint. The whole concept.
It was a lawsuit that came out. It was like, they're portraying themselves as actual medical. No, they're not, you twisted piece of crap.
This place did not exist when Tink and I were there in 2009,
no, there wasn't.
Or we would have found it and went.
I think it was just coming into being in 2008, 2009.
Here's what they said about spanking here. Here it is, spanking. Oh, they got the @spankingnurse if you want to go on Twitter.
No, we went to Hard Rock because I won $100 mm-hmm. on a $5 slot.
And you can get Heart Attack Girl t-shirts.
Yeah.
It's Worth Dying For is their logo, by the way.
That's fantastic. Just embracing everything.
Just embrace it. Like I said, they
see that's they took a themed the concept fucking of a restaurant.
Themed restaurant, yeah, and ran the fuck with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, this food's really bad for you. We should make it sound like it's bad for you.
And then we should develop a theme for our entire restaurant.
Exactly.
That encourages you to enjoy things that
it's
are bad
for you.
You.
Yes, it will kill you.
But do you enjoy it? Yes. Fuck yeah. Here you go. This is the restaurant.
This is really, really, really bad for you.
Yeah.
It's called the, what are we going to call it? What are we going to call it? Can we call it Bypass Grill? No, let's make that the name of the burger. How about Heart Attack
how
Grill?
How about Heart Attack Grill?
Right next to Coronary it. Pub.
No, yeah. How about Cardio Thoracic Grill?
That's too long.
That's a bit of a mouthful. Long, yeah. A bit of a mouthful. A little long.
I see you.
But I mean, you know, we'll have to think about that for next week.
Yeah.
What themed restaurant would the three of us come up with?
CICU. Cardiac.
No.
Intensive care unit.
Yeah. Well, no, we're just using that as an example of somebody that took a theme and ran with it.
And did a good job.
And did a good job of
they
it.
Didn't just hang zombie shit on the wall.
I mean,
and
think
say
about that.
Burger.
If you order wine at the Heart Attack Grill, they'll bring it out to you in a fucking syringe bag.
Yeah, exactly.
When I ran it about it, I said, you know, I'm really,
or an IV bag.
I'm really sick of my friends tagging themselves this grill because it's actually kind of pathetic. I've seen the pictures, blah, blah, blah. This is all I can think of. And I did the Spaceballs. The action figure space, and I showed that clip, right. And I'm like, "This is all I could." When you're there, this is all I could think right. of.
So that's what we're going to think about for next week, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to think about themed restaurants that we would do at here at Radio Foo Bar. Until then, thank you for listening on themix.fm. Check out our website, radiofoobar.com. We'll see everybody next week.
Peace.
We're out of here. Bye.